that shit is bananas. Bananas.
Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy. You want to fuck that. Black me out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Airborne cannot fucking keep this from the public. If they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, the motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza
Kick Radio. It is Thursday, May 17th, 2012. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, and tonight, with me, I have a guest co-host. His name is Eric Blackie DeShields. What's going on?
Nothing much, brother. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Cool. No problem. For those who don't know, Eric's a professional wrestler. You know, he works various indies all over the place. You know, we'll get into a little bit of that. He's also one of the hosts of Kayfabe TV on YouTube. Check that shit out. But, yeah, we're going to do the thing. We're going to get into a bunch of different topics and everything else. I'm busy trying to watch my Heat fuck up tonight, too, and miss half the shots they take. But other than that, you know what I mean? The whole wrestling, everything going on. So, yeah, man. Trying to think of what I want to get into first. Jesus. I don't know. First off, this Miami Heat thing, I might as well get into this because it's right in front of me, but man, Bosch going out of the game the other night was definitely a big thing. I hear all these Pacer fans talking shit. Yeah, they won their game in Miami. That's I know, but bottom line is the Pacers can't close out a game. They let us take the game one. They almost let us take last game, but we have bad shot selection, so they ended up winning that one. You know, it's gonna be a problem without Bosch, but we'll see. Hopefully we'll take that home. Anyway, wrestling, what happened? So who you fuck with in basketball? Anybody?
No, you know, I used to. Once the Sixers had lost back in like 02, I kind of was like, you know what? Nah, yeah, not so much these days.
Oh, you were a Sixers fan?
Yes.
Well, that's a shame. But, I mean, they're still in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Those guys are all confident.
They
beat a one seed without their star. But anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you wrestle at and all that type of thing.
Well, I'll wrestle anywhere there's a ring and someone wants to fight. I mean, I was trained in CZW back in 07, 08-ish, and then after that I had moved on to like little, you know, little feds like HPW, and moved on up to DWF, TWA. I got Valor Pro Wrestling, New Moon Rising, PTW. You know, anywhere there's a ring and people want to fight, I'm with it.
I hear you. Yeah, I remembered you from your CZW time as you were with Pinky and you were Blackie Sanchez. what was that time like?
It was fun. It was a learning experience. It definitely was. You know, I come in there to wrestle, and the first match I seen, it was like I seen their earlier stuff, like in the 2000s, like on Channel 48. You know, back before that digital, and they had cable boxes from like 0 to 99 and everything. And
yeah,
I remember watching a match with Ruckus, and I was like, this is what I want to do. You know, and so I went there a couple years later. And the first show I saw for him was Tournament of Death. And, holy shit.
A little bit different, you know, than a Ruckus match.
A little bit different. And, you know, from there, it's just been one hell of a ride, man.
Yeah, definitely.
And there was a time when Drew Blood had hit a flipping pile driver and almost broke my neck. That was fun times. That was fun times.
Wow. All right. I don't remember that, but I'm sure you do. Shit.
Yeah, I remember.
Hold on. Let me take this call real quick. I think it's my boy Juan. It's his birthday. So.
Word.
Yo.
Hello? What's up, bro?
Is this Juan?
Yeah, of course it is, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, I know. I don't know numbers, motherfucker. Hey, listen, so I know it's your birthday, so I got something for you right here. Check it.
Happy birthday, homie.
For me?
Yeah. Happy birthday, homeboy.
For me?
Yeah. Make a wish.
There you go.
Yeah, that really happened, too.
Yeah, we got to dig something out of Don't Be a Menace to South Central for your ass on your birthday and shit. So how old are you anyway, Juan?
I'm 29.
You only got one more year before you're a manager.
Yeah, one more year don't fucking go 30 downhill and shit.
Nah, I'm 34, so I've been 4 years downhill at that rate, so fuck it.
Shit.
So what'd you do today other than listen to this bullshit?
Work.
Well, then it only got better.
There you go. I worked. I got a second job finally.
Second job, huh?
Yep.
Now what?
Fuck it. I got both fucking jobs gave me Saturday off, so that's all I care about.
Now, what's your second job?
Oh, I work at Tom's River Kia. I'll be closer to you now.
Jesus. So. You work at a Tom's River Kia, and what's the other one?
Old Bridge Toyota. We have Old Bridge Honda.
So you got Hondas, Kias. You locking down the market on the cars, huh?
Oh, if I come over there to you and go get a 2013, huh?
There you go.
Yeah, basically, yep.
Yeah. You got the hookup?
That's a new store, dude. It was a new store in fucking Tom's River.
Okay.
So,
all right.
They called me today and said, yo, we'll come in and check out the year. I will. So,
yeah, I'll definitely be down there. If you overlook the fact of, you know, the no license, the dog do insurance and everything, yeah, man, I'll be down there. There's no problem. I'll be down there.
Then this is going to happen to you when you get out of that dealership, when you get stopped by a cop or something, say license and registration, you better run for your life.
Well, I'll just tell Mom that it's all right, you know.
Shit, you better say you're J. Cat Morris.
Shit, I don't go nowhere.
Yo, I thought he drives a Saturn. What? No, that's not. It's a Kia. That's
the what?
That's how he gets. That's how you drive, right? Your car. What the hell do you guys drive?
It's a Ford Focus. We stuffed three kids in a Ford Focus.
Yeah, they got the Focus.
That's what we do.
The Focus, I forgot. Yeah, that's
a
right there.
That's a Focus. Little, man. We do big things with this little Focus.
Yo, after the fucking shows, he goes to Front Street and drag race.
Drag race my ass, man. We were dragging three kids around in that motherfucker. That's what we drank. Fuck out of here. Anyway, Juan, so what's up, man? What do you, you got any wrestling stuff you want to chat about real quick?
Oh, man, fucking Raw was bullshit.
Damn sure was.
And fucking TNA was even worse. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I was angry.
I don't watch
shit.
Much
like,
TNA, but...
After watching both of those shits on DVR show, like, mad as hell. I was like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah, I hear you,
watching,
man.
Maybe stop watching TV for a while after that.
Yeah, I hear
extra bullshit.
Yeah, Raw was pretty bad.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
slapped the shit out of him.
What are you? Are you watching
you
TNA or something?
No, no. I'm on the road, dude. I'm going home. I just got out of work.
Oh. You said somebody smacked the shit out of somebody.
No, if you watch Raw and shit.
Oh, oh.
Johnny A slapped the shit out of him. I was like, all right, cool. That's what we
oh,
all
okay.
want to do to this bitch-ass dude.
Yeah,
that's,
I
like
hear
just, you. That's something that 300 million people don't want to do around the world to John Cena.
Yeah,
I was actually pulling for him to hit on with an ace crusher, but you know, the slap it doing
until Sunday. Yeah, right? I'm waiting for that mullet to grow back and shit. Like, come on, let's see it.
It's kind of bad when people have to pull for Johnny Ace at this point. It's just, that's rough going.
Yo, he cut the worst promos ever, dude. Like, you heard one of his, like, promos when he was wrestling?
Good
him
and God. Shane Douglas.
No. His promos don't make sense for shit. I'm serious. They won't make any type of sense.
Oh, I hear that, man. It's...
If you YouTube fucking Johnny Ace promo, you probably
I usually don't.
Yeah, you must
yeah.
be referring to the. Are you referring to the one where he goes, "If you got it, you got it, and if you don't, you better get it." Or
like, what the fuck are you? What the hell is he saying?
Oh,
I'm calling live from Tokyo.
He was the warrior before the warrior.
Yeah, some shit. Oh, and Juan, I got another one for you, Juan, because you know, I know your birthday. I figure I'll hit you with a little surprise, but I'm one step closer to getting your boy Teddy Hart on the show. So.
Oh!
I know you've been asking
holy
that shit before
dude,
it was a possibility, but.
I'm waiting for that motherfucker to open up a promotion, too.
I know,
I will be there with the ringing bells and shit with the monkeys and a flying fucking ring.
There you go, man. I just got his assistance number, so I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Oh, then you got to get from her assistance number, then the following one. Then you
gotta
call Uncle Brett.
I know. My people call his people, and then, you know what I mean, eventually, you know?
Yeah, so it's pretty much Nina call. Call Brett Hart.
Fuck out of here. Then you don't even talk to Brett. But, all right, Juan, we got a bunch of shit to get into. You know, you want to call back, chime in, or whatever, in a little bit.
Boy, let me listen. Shit, I'm on the road.
Oh, okay, so you want me to just put you on hold or something?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, cool. Let me do that.
All right.
All right, Juan. Yeah, there you go. There's Juan. So, yeah, I figure, well, what the fuck do I want to get into? I don't want to jump right into that CZW thing yet. Get me fired up all early and shit. Man, I mean, he mentioned the whole TNA thing. The only thing I could think about TNA right now, I heard Brooke Hogan is going to be the Impact Knockouts executive. She's signing on to do that. And meanwhile, Flair's daughter just joined FCW to train over there. So, I don't know. Let's see where that goes. What do you think about all that, man?
Flair's daughter? Even
yeah.
Oh,
Rick Flair's daughter signed with FCW, and then Brooke Hogan starting with TNA on some Commissioner of the Divas or Knockouts or whatever the kind of shit.
But that's the role she already had, though, correct? Like, wasn't she like their commissioner or whatever like a year ago, right?
I don't know. They just kind of showed her at ringside and like was like, yeah, there's Brooke Hogan. And then I think What's-Her-Face was doing that. Jeez. the chick, Angles. Angle Jarrett wife. She was doing the more or less the, what was it, Knockouts executive, and now they're, I guess, officially making it Brooke Hogan. I don't know if they've been going back and forth for it, or I don't even know. But, yeah, that's, they're doing that. I clearly don't watch it because I'm sitting here with the heat. I'm watching McDonald's commercial rather than talking Impact right now. So, yeah, Flair's daughter, I don't know what to think about that. I know what, you know, David Flair was back in the day, and it wasn't too much, so.
Flair, he had like a lot. I mean, you would think, you know, with your dad being Ric Flair, you, I mean, shit.
Yeah.
I think it was a lot better. At least he had a Crowbar, though, as a tag partner, though.
Yeah. I mean, that'll get you somewhere.
Yeah.
No, wait, didn't. No, it didn't.
I'm about to say, got right up where he was at.
Yeah, just, I don't know. Well, I mean, fuck it. I guess we'll jump into Raw. They more or less, if I miss anything, jump in, I'm, you know. They start out with the Triple H versus Paul Heyman segment. Just a lot of, like, talk. This takes me, like, 3 days to watch on my DVR because I'm just barely tuned into it whatsoever. And I think the first night it was, like, 12:30 or something. And I watched the Triple H-Paul Heyman segment, and that pretty much put me to sleep. And then I seen the tag match starting, and then I had to catch up with that the next day. So, you know, it's just a big build. Brock Lesnar has only so many TV dates that he signed on for.
Right.
So they're working this thing. So that way, I think SummerSlam, they're working the Triple H Brock Lesnar thing. So until then, they're going to play games, have Paul Heyman be, you know, the mouthpiece and all that and go back and forth. So I think that's basically what they're doing.
What was your feelings on the Brock promo, the original one where he was doing the demands? What was your take on that?
Well, when he was doing the demands, saying Raw presents Brock Lesnar, or Brock Lesnar presents Raw, or some shit.
Because I'll be honest with you, I kind of popped for the opening when it said starring Brock Lesnar. I was like, hey,
yeah. I mean, it works because he's been known as an arrogant dude throughout, and especially even in UFC, he put himself over as, like, just a dude that didn't give a fuck. And, you know, he really wasn't trying to be a nice guy. He was trying to just show that he was a killer, you know, that type of thing. So when he came back to the WWE, and obviously he was a guy who's been, you know, in wrestling, out of wrestling. He shit on wrestling when he left wrestling. So
yeah, he did.
He's got to come up with some kind of edge, like, you know what, I'm just here to hurt people and this and that. So it makes sense that he's going to, you know, play the superstar angle, you know, and even though he was getting face pop all over the place, he's got to go over the top to get a heel, some kind of heel heat. So
yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. That was my thing from the start. Like, pretty much everything he did makes sense, including busting Cena's mouth open, which I don't think was originally planned, but then they worked off of it.
Yeah, I mean, like, the punches after that first one, I mean, you can kind of like, eh. But that first one, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they planned that. And there's, you know, there was a lot of cutting when it came to the pay-per-view, but, that first one was a little too snug. And, you know, he wasn't the safest guy back in the day, and coming off of actually punching people in the face, you know, probably a little too rough, but I don't care one way or another. It's entertaining to me. I don't know. That's my thing. And, you know, when Brock cut that via satellite, or, you know, that tape promo where he was talking about, I'm just here to hurt people, I don't care about anybody, and that's what I do. And I like that a lot.
Yeah, that was gold.
Yeah. One thing I'm really surprised about throughout, though, and I'm wondering, like, what kind of deal was made, because there got to be a deal. But they've name-dropped UFC probably 10 times since Brock showed up.
Yeah.
And that was always a no-no with Vince. Like, unless he owns the company, you don't mention that shit. Like,
yeah.
Matt Hardy got buried for yelling ROH on TV before he left. And they pretty much kept him on to get buried by the dude that took his chick. I mean,
true. I mean, even if you go back to the 90s, like, even when he had, like, Ken Shamrock, like, they kind of, you know, didn't want to promote UFC, even though it was, like, smaller back then, you know what I mean? Just, like,
right.
Age father. So, yeah, that's not new for them.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I think they messed up with the build of this Triple H and Brock thing is, you know, they had Brock, quote-unquote, break his arm, and then, you know, then he just waltzed out with Mayweather's belt on a couple days later, so...
Yeah.
Didn't make Triple H look too hurt, but...
Yeah, I remember I was eating breakfast when I had saw it the next day, and I kind of was like, you couldn't have used the other arm.
Nah, just tucked it in. It's the game.
Yeah.
He was the chaperone for Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, kicked the wild live guy.
Yeah, fucking Bieber couldn't hold another belt, just tucked that arm in something. Jesus. But, yeah, that's what that was. Then after that whole segment, they did CM Punk and Santino versus Cody Rhodes and Daniel Bryan.
The dream team.
Which one? Which one you dreaming about? Because I don't...
So, well, not me.
Oh, well, I mean, somebody. I mean, I like all those guys, honestly. All four guys in the ring, I think they should have rode with that Santino and Brodus Clay thing for a while longer. They were both comedy guys that were getting over. And I think they should have rode with that for longer, and they fucked that up. But they did the whole isolating Santino forever, and then they hot tagged the Punk. Daniel Bryan ends up leaving. Punk beats Cody Rhodes. Pretty much end game. That's more or less what they did there. Then they wanted to Beth Phoenix versus Alicia Fox squash match. Layla's watching. It's just, you know, the hype up pay per view and Layla fighting Beth. I don't know. That's crazy. My girl's telling me in the chat room that there's yelling coming from across the street, like I'm supposed to do something about that. the show's fun. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to just hand the belt back to Beth. I don't know what they were even planning with taking the belt off of her with that worked injury and then Layla coming in when everybody thought it was karma. I don't know where we're really supposed to go with that. Now, what's your thoughts on that? Huh?
Oh, no, I was saying, I tell you where I hope they go. I hope they go with Carmen coming back soon because the women matches, man. Shit, they're painful.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree, and that's the whole problem is, like, everybody thought Karma was coming back to face the Bella chick, and it was Layla, so Layla got just buried, and honestly, I really don't think Layla's that bad amongst, you know, I mean, there's so many garbage female wrestlers in the company, but I don't think Layla's that bad, but if you're expecting Karma, Layla's a disappointment all day long,
yeah.
Especially just hand her the strap.
And it's a shame because there's a couple of them that can go like Beth and Natalia. It's just, you know, give them like, you know, 30 seconds to wrestle. I mean, you know, damn.
I don't know what they... Natalia must have did something fucked up backstage because with the farting gimmick and then just buried her. I mean...
Yeah, I turn on SmackDown. I'm like, oh, so she busts her ass now. Oh, okay, you know, whatever.
That's the whole gimmick.
Yeah.
It's like Divas of Doom and now she farts. Like, oh, man.
Yeah. Then they try and put her in, like, a WWE calendar. Like, yeah, I want to see that in a song now. Like, our, you know, thanks for the visual. You know?
Yeah. Streaks on that shit. Bad. So then, man, this is ridiculous. The next thing that happens is Big Show and Kane. Man, they got Big Show distracted by Johnny Ace. Kane more or less slaps Big Show in the throat, and they call it as a choke slam. Like, he doesn't pick him up, he just slapped him in the throat, and the dude fell.
Yeah, I was
like,
wondering about that.
He's like, a choke slam by Kane. I was like, where? What the fuck? He just slapped him in the neck. I was like, holy shit.
That was a vicious slap.
Yeah. So then they go into one of the saddest things I've ever seen, which I've really never been a Big Show fan since he's been Big Show. I kind of liked him as the Giant back in the day, but, you know, WCW, and he's throwing Rey Mysterio around and shit, but this is, man, he goes into this crying bit. This must have been like 20 minutes of the Big Show crying, talking about he's been in the business for 18 years, and I can't even believe it's been that long I've been putting up with him. And
yeah.
And then, you know, he tells him, you got to beg me for your job and get on your knees and all of this, and he just, please don't make me do it. And he's walking back and forth crying with his knit hat on. I think he still had the hat on. Maybe he didn't. I don't know.
That hat is over.
Yeah, right. He's just pacing back and forth, crying, and I'm just like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like, this has got to have a payoff, or no.
Man, give that man a slammy for the tears, because, like, anytime you're, like, 7 foot, whatever the hell he is, and you can go out there and blubber like that, give that man a slammy.
I guess, but, I mean, if he just stood there and reflected on his career, he should be crying. You know? I mean, he just had his first, he wrestled 18 years, he just had his first WrestleMania win this past year. I mean, you should be crying.
And it was against Cody Rhodes, just saying. But, I mean, you know, the thing that everybody was thinking was like, you know, 18 years and he's getting fired, like, that's not believable. Here's what I was thinking. And he's been wrestling for 18 years and not one friend came out there to, you know, say something, you know what I mean? Like, that's
Yeah. Yeah, the whole thing is pretty sad, and, you know, I've seen pictures someone put, you know, Vince McMahon used to do firing people and stuff like that, and it looked a whole lot different than having Big Show crying and that 7 foot something, and just, it just looked pathetic. It really did. Like, you completely kill, he can never again be a monster. I know he's, you know, late in his career anyway. I don't think it's legitimate that he got fired. But he can't come back from this and be a vicious anything. Like, he's got to be, like, a sympathetic, like, you know, feel bad for me character at this point. This is not good.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that, see where the, you know what I mean, upward mobility is from, like, crying like that. Like, yeah, that's a hard one right there. Or maybe he does come back and just murder the roster like Ryback. Maybe, you know, Ryshow. Maybe that could be his new gimmick.
Rye Show. I don't know how many more things they could add show to. The Era Show. What else did they do? Show Miz.
Yeah.
I mean, damn.
It was funny. Like, one year I had the SmackDown game, and he had, like, three different Titantrons for, like, three different tag teams. I laughed my ass off. Like,
yeah. It's like, you picked a Big Show. All right, who else you got? I know
it was,
that.
Like, for that. It was like for like one or two straight years, it was like creative had nothing for you. Put them with the Big Show. Mm-hmm. Combine their names.
I think they did Show Guns, right, with Billy Gunn.
Oh, God, did they?
I think so. I think they did Show Guns with Billy Gunn. And it was, yep.
Yeah. Billy Gunn was one he just threw in tag teams at random, like, got nothing for you? Give them Billy Gunn.
Yeah. Chuck and Billy. Billy and Chuck. Bad times. But then they had, back to wrestling, they had Kofi, The Truth, and Brodus Clay versus Miz, Swagger, and Ziggler. Now, I'm overall on the match. I think Kofi looked really good in this match. Kofi's gold. I mean, he's got intense energy. I mean, the intensity out of that dude is just off the charts. I mean, he needs to be in, you know, bigger and better things. And obviously, he was the star of that Money in the Bank thing until they just pulled it from the WrestleMania cards. He's got charisma out the ass. Ziggler's gold too. The thing is like, and even in this match, he proved it. He's the only one making that headbutt gimmick out of Brodus look good at all. Like, he's taken that same move on at least three occasions out of Brodus and made it look crazy. And every other time Brodus did it, it looked like shit. Like, he did his shit on the ramp. Where Dolph came sprinting up the ramp, and he just stuck his head out, and he just took like a half a backflip bump off of his dude's head. Like, I mean, Ziggler's the shit. I mean, he's going to be a lot of, I think he's going to be around for a long time, and he's going to be a main eventer. It's just the problem is right now is they're using him to be the guy who showcases other people's garbage. Like, yeah. If your move doesn't look that good, he'll make it look great. And I don't know. It's not the right way to go, but they're going to push one of the guys they want to one way or another, and it seems to be the way they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, they did give him like a little push at the beginning of the year at the Royal Rumble when he went against Punk, but I mean, you got to fully pull a trigger on somebody like that, you know? There'll be somebody else that can make that headbutt look good, you know what I mean? Go all the way with Ziggler. Zigzag deserves.
Yeah. I agree with you, and I think where they might be going now, and it's like a really sore subject for me, but and I think they might be pushing those two, Swagger and Ziggler, for the tag titles.
I hope so.
I think they're going up against Kofi and Truth for the tag titles on Sunday. And the thing
and
is like, yeah, and Little Jimmy. So it's like a handicap match. But the thing is that tag team division is horrible. They're not even paying attention to it. It's not even as that bad as they don't even care to do anything with it. So, I mean, if they use Swagger and Ziggler as the number one team, even Kofi and Truth, and then they start bringing up the different people from FCW, and they start tagging up different people. I mean, the Kings of Wrestling are both under contract. I mean, if they wanted to do those guys together, which I really don't think they're going to, but they're under contract. There's a lot of those guys that, you know. What's that?
The one of them was SmackDown.
Yeah, Claudio with Antonio Cesaro and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do the Cassius Ohno with Antonio Cesaro. I mean, they named him Antonio Cesaro, and now they're making him Swedish again. So I don't really know what they're even trying to do with that.
They need a Swedish guy.
Yeah, with an Italian name. I mean, that's a great idea. It's just the whole Claudio Castagnoli. I mean, I know you don't want them to own your name or anything like that, but in the same token, come up with something that sounds a nationality you're trying to make the guy.
I'm just begging for better theme music. Like, if I have to listen to that Sega Genesis Streets of Rage theme track when he comes out one more time. Jeez.
Streets of Rage. That was funny. Yeah, I mean, I'm just glad to see guys like that on TV. And but again, I think there's tons of talent that they could snatch up. You know, I'd heard months back that they were looking at the Briscoes, and supposedly, you know, the Ring of Honor contract might have gotten away. And then I heard Jay Briscoe said, "Nah, it was nothing like that. Nothing ever happened." But either way, I mean, if they focus on their tag division, they can snatch up a lot of these indie tag teams that are, you know, well known and doing their thing. You know, and I don't see why they couldn't set that division on fire if they actually wanted to. I just don't think they have up to this point.
Yeah, but, you know, with them doing the retooling, like moving their headquarters and everything, I don't know how much truth it is to it. You know, hopefully something will come out of it over the next year, because, I mean, the tag division's been dead since, what would you say, like, probably like 07, since like Kendrick in London was there. Like, I think that's officially when he died, like the tag division.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny, too, when you bring them up, because if you watch that shoot that they did where they're all blazed and everything.
The best.
What?
No, I was saying that shoot, that was the best.
Oh, yeah, and they're coming out with a part two, like, coming up soon, too. Yeah, see that, definitely. Yeah, they did that shoot, and they said when they got the tour, they were looking at the pictures on the wall, and they were just like, so many different teams, or so many different, like, you know, stars and everything like that. And they're like, you know, where's the Demolition, and where's this, and where's that? And they're like, I have a feeling these guys don't like tag team wrestling. And, you know, they asked, I think, Shane about that, and he said something along the lines like, so, why bother? Or something that just kind of gave a hint, like, yeah, we really don't give a fuck. And That's pretty telling. I don't know.
Just don't have to give a shit anymore.
Yeah, I guess not. It's more or less like a stopping point or a testing point for guys that they want to push in singles in the future. And God damn, they're killing my fucking Heat right now. This is not good. 94-73. 2 minutes left. This is curtains. Fucking should have watched TNA. No, I shouldn't have. I'd rather watch my team lose than watch TNA. But yeah, man, I don't know how the show really finished. I know there was a long-ass John Laurinaitis promo with Cena at the end. I think that's what Juan was talking about, dude getting smacked and shit. And before that, they did, like, Randy Orton and Jericho or something, but I don't know. That didn't last that long. That's all I can really remember from Raw. I don't know if there's anything I missed down the end stretch.
Jim Terry promo John Cena shot on by Lynn.
Yeah, and I said this the past couple weeks that they more or less like passed off the Rock that Cena or CM Punk, I should say, was running with Laurinaitis, where, you know, Punk was calling him on all his bullshit. And then all of a sudden they're like, all right, man, you're making him look bad. We'll make you do something else. And then now Cena's doing the same exact thing that Punk was doing. Punk even tagged in last week, you know, the week before Monday, to shoot on him and then give credit to Cena and pass it back to him. So now he's doing the same shit. And he's, oh, yeah, well, I know this about your past. And I know that, like, that was never Cena. I don't know why they're doing that. It's not 6 months apart. It's not, you know, well, you know, we don't remember the last time someone shot on him. It's like back to back. I don't know. It's kind of garbage from what I could see, but I don't know how you feel about the whole Cena Laurinaitis. I mean, what is that match going to look like on Sunday?
Well, it's probably more than likely going to be nothing but a lot of interference and, I mean, I would love to see Johnny Ace hit him with an Ace Crusher, multiple ones like he did in Japan.
I know you're putting that Ace Crusher over all day, but
yes,
man.
Because I mean, realistically, what sense does it make for Johnny Ace to go over on Cena? Like, really? But then again, what sense did it make for Cena to go over on Brock? So, who knows?
Yeah, I guess. But to put Brock out for a couple months, I guess they had to. A month or two. I think SummerSlam's what? Is SummerSlam June or July?
I thought about SummerSlam was August. Because Money in the Bank, I believe, is July.
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean, that's what they keep. I mean, they change pay-per-views every other year, so I don't know.
Yeah, anything's possible there. But, yeah, that's crazy. I mean, if you're staying out till August, I don't know. They got a lot of build there. They better slow down on that because they're going a little hot and heavy about the Brock stuff right now to keep them away for 2 months. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, if he shows up every month, just destroy somebody or, just beat somebody up every month. You know what I mean? Every pay-per-view. That Brock spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all for it, man. It's just the contract that he signed, I forget the amount of days. I should have wrote it down when he first did it, and I mentioned it like the first week, but after that I kind of forgot the number. But he signed on for a certain amount of appearances for the year, and that was it.
Right.
Like, you get this many TV dates, and that's it, including pay-per-views. So they use those up, and that's it. You're not getting any more Brock, and then after that, they got to re-sign a new contract. So I guess they're really trying to play it out through the year, and then once the year is up, they'll probably renegotiate, but they're going to pay out their ass after that. So I'm sure he wasn't cheap to begin with for whatever limited
days. How many appearances has he made so far? Like 5 appearances, right?
Something like that, yeah, something like that, like 5 or so. But if you got 30 across the year, you know, I mean, something like that, there's only so much you could do. I mean, you got a show every single week, pay-per-view every single month. You're going to have to keep them off here and there to stretch it across the year. So, tough stuff.
Yeah, well,
I don't know how to work that. But,
shit, I'm a Brock's agent.
Yeah. Yeah, other people are just trying to get work. He's trying to figure out how to work the least and spread it out across the year and make millions of dollars. So he's got it worked out. Let me see. One thing I want to mention, because I think that's about it for Raw that I got, but this is completely off topic, but it couldn't be any further from topic of wrestling. Do not fuck with a Slim Jim Dare. They got a Slim Jim out there that's called Slim Jim Dare. If you got beef with your intestines, or you would rather spend more quality time with your toilet, go fuck with that shit. But I would tell you straight up, I'm telling you, that's some processed shit. It's spicy as fuck, and on the flip side, it's spicier. It's no joke. It'll fuck up at least an hour of your night. So I would recommend not doing that shit. I tried a big dog, and I ate that shit. I was like, well, man, this is pretty spicy and shit. Let a couple hours go by, and you're gonna hate Slim Jim. Is an evil corporation, man. Those motherfuckers. I'm telling you, man. I am not cool with them motherfuckers no more. So,
and you said Slim Jim Bear, huh?
Slim Jim Dare. Like, they dare you to fuck with that shit. It says dare right on the wrapper. My stupid ass is like, shit, I ain't no punk. I'm going to get one of them. Yeah, I would not recommend that shit.
I'm doing it now just because it's a challenge.
Okay. Yeah, fuck with it. Go get the big one then. You know what I mean? They got ones that are huge. You know what I mean? You could beat someone to death coming out of the store with it. Go ahead with that. I don't know, man. That was my yesterday's experience, and I would not recommend that shit. I ate that shit like lunchtime, worked the whole day, went to the gym, came home, fucking terror. Fucking curtains, man. That shit is not good. So,
but, you know what? On second thought, I might buy some and at the next show give it to somebody else. Because,
there you go. Be like, hey, man, yo, I thought I wanted this, but, man, I'm full, man. Go ahead with that.
Yeah.
Someone you're wrestling or some shit.
Hey, bro, have a seat, man. Here you go. Yeah, I'll just...
good match, man. Yo, have this. Someone you know's got like a drive home or something. Like a,
oh, yeah,
like
the long ride home. Somebody got to take a 6-hour ride. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. Give it to that guy. But I think I'm going to hop on a break right quick and then come back and get into some other wrestling and this and that. So I'm going to play one of these tracks, figure out. Should I go old or new? I got three tracks.
Why don't you go old school? I'm a retro guy. If you watch K-Fab, I'm retro, so I'm with that.
All right, let's do this then. Right back.
I'm out of you. I'm out of you. I'll be the specializer, the murderizer, your body paralyzer. Since the hell is where the army's going to guide us. No time to pray to the man above. I bust slugs with a gang of homies thugs. Cause I'm tripping, I'm high from the L's. I'm flipping, the gas what I'm flipping. To end all your tripping, so set it. When I get hyped, you'll regret it. I thought the beef was on, but now you wanna bet it. We on some next shit, fuck a policy accepted. My life is directed to areas that's infected. Possessed with type of detectives you couldn't mess with or even handle. So put that bullshit on cancel. Images fake, straight up and down, use a scandal. Clown ass niggas on that sucker shit. Fuck that niggas working with. Talking out real live service shit. Niggas like you was only good for getting killed. Anybody act up, it's somebody we take. Like miserable, frustrated disciples. Shot them in elements, put my lost siblings. Stripping and flooded from the walls. It doesn't mean I'm a rival. 666 ways of survival. Arrival on my dorm of evil underground. Cause I'm more deal. Kill your skin, you motherfuckers. I lose all your silly friends. Super house is out. Skeletons like who's the rock me. Top of them, the timber. I need to trample. The party with everything we got. Shut up.
another thing, I figure I'll put another little product on blast. But, you know, I do enjoy this product, so I'm not going to, you know, hate. But I just want to make something, you know, clear. Is Miller Lite is completely promoting binge drinking. First, they came out with the Vortex bottle, which is like they got like kind of like a swirl on the inside of the bottle in order to make the beer move faster out of the bottle.
Right.
I don't know why that was needed, as if people couldn't drink fast enough. Well, now they came out with a punch top can to pretty much allow you to professionally shotgun a beer. So
nice.
It's got like a perforated little piece in the top that you're supposed to poke your key in, so again the beer can flow faster into your mouth and you can drink more faster. So I'm waiting for the 30 pack with like a beer bong attached to it, because I think that's definitely the next move. I don't know how people haven't seen what's going on and the commercials and everything else. Like, it's not ketchup. It's not like motherfuckers are banging on the bottom of the bottles going, how do I get this shit out faster? It's fucked up. Like, I think people are pretty efficient in over-drinking, so it's one of those things. I'm just really surprised by the innovations that they're just doing to make people drink more.
And, you know, I mean, they gotta do something, right?
Shit, I guess. Not really, but I guess. I mean, you go drink a lot, you go drink a lot. Fuck it. What the fuck is that? So anyway, what do I get into? Shit, let me, okay. America's Got Talent. I started watching this shit. What is that? You got some old alert shit going on here, is that?
Oh, it's iPhone, you know. I should have kept the Boost Mobile. I'm sorry about that.
I don't know nothing about no iPhone. I got an iPad, I got an iPod, I got a bullshit $14 phone. but,
you got the brick.
Huh?
You got the brick?
It's just like a little joint, little AT&T Samsung joint, and it comes across nice on the air, and really nobody calls me, so it works for me. America's Got Talent. I really am not like a talent show type dude. I'm a Howard Stern mark, so I listen to that shit on a regular, and Stern is a new judge on there. I watched the first season of America's Got Talent, and I swore, like, when I heard about this shit and Stern was coming on, I was like, you know, a couple seasons ago I watched that shit. Come to find out, this is the 7th season. So apparently I watched that shit like 6 years ago. So I figured, you know, I'm just all in for this shit because fuck it. Half the time Raw pisses me off, so it gives me another thing to watch on Monday off my DVR. So I checked it out, and honestly, I thought it was pretty good. Stern, you know, he's pretty funny with his delivery and shit on, you know, judging people. On the first night, some things that stood out was they had this. This dude came on, he had a 3,000-foot string instrument from the stage to the balcony. Like, they had strings going from the stage to the fucking balcony. And they were just looking at this motherfucker, and he was like, yeah, I just, like, build instruments and teach people how to use them and shit. And they're just looking at him like, yeah, how much you make doing that dumb shit? And then he climbed up there, he put some gloves on and, like, powdered up his gloves and shit. And he played this, like, orchestra-type shit, like, crazy shit, off of this just strings going 3,000 feet. And it was impressive as hell. So that was the one dude. They had a couple dance acts they went through. They had this white nerd went through rapping, man. And I don't even, I can't even understand, like, why that shit went through. Like,
it was a white nerd that was rapping.
Yeah, did you see it?
No, I didn't, but I was interested at the white per nerd part. Sound like YouTube gold right there.
Oh, no, nah, man. It's like, he swore he was freestyling, and he was just like, just mention, like, the judges real quick. Mention that Howie Mandel used to do Bobby's World, and then mention some shit about Baba Booey to Howard Stern, and mention some shit about Ozzy to Sharon, and just, like, mix that into some little bullshit rap. And then they were like, oh, my God, you just made that up just now. Okay, yeah, you're going through. I'm like, this motherfucker's corny as shit. Like, he was a straight-up nerd. Like, your dude didn't look anywhere near like he was rapping before that day.
Now, here's my question to you. Did he have Cliff Notes on his wristband?
Did he have? No, he didn't have Cliff Notes on his wristband. But that shit still, I mean, it, dude, you could come up with a 90-second rap on three fucking hugely famous judges. Just corny fucking, you know, you're with Ozzy and da-da-da-da-da. And it just, get the fuck out of here. It was corny. If they put him through, he'll never win shit. So it'll be like the next round and he'll be out. But that shit just got on my nerves because, like, I'm a big rap fan and shit, you know, wow, it was probably at least 12 years ago or whatever when I lived up north towards Newark and all that. Like, I used to rap all the time. You know, I've been away from that for a while, but in the same token, like, I used to rap around people and straight up, like, I mean, they would tell you if the shit was garbage, they'd tell you that shit was hot. And, I mean, there's no way this dude has been anywhere near anybody else that rap besides him. He's rapping around guys that are playing poker and shit, and they're going, well, go ahead with that, buddy. I don't know what you're into, but sounds okay to me.
Like, yeah, but you know what, though? It's to be expected, though, because, I mean, if you turn on the radio, half the shit that you hear is terrible. So, I mean, when you throw a talent show like America's Got Talent, I mean, they're going to recite the same type of bullshit you hear on the radio. Like, I heard a song from J. Cole the other day where he said, that's the hook right there. That's the hook right there. Beat the pussy up. That's the hook right there. Like, he repeated the same thing like four times.
Yeah, I guess when people are calling Lil Wayne the king of rap, then shit like that's going to have to get through.
Yeah, well, when Soulja Boy sells, 3 million ringtones, I mean, you know, what the hell?
Mm. I wish all their phones would blow up on their faces.
Yeah, I wish it too.
Then they had another act where a kid and her dad went through, and that shit was cute as fuck. Like, the kid, I mean, I think she's like fucking 14 years old or something. She's got a voice on her. And they had more or less a collab going with the dad where it was just, you know, he was playing his part and she was playing her. I think they did like, what the fuck did they do? That James Taylor joined. That was something completely different from what I'm talking about. But yeah, that was on night two, actually. And they did You Got a Friend shit. And they did it together, and it came off really good. All the judges were like tears in their eyes and everything. And it sounded really good. And the daughter's actually, I think she'll have like a really good future. She'll end up a star, whether it's off of this or whatever. But yeah, some pretty good stuff there. Night two, they had a crossbow act where this dude was shooting a crossbow. Chick was holding like a balloon in her mouth, and he was shooting a crossbow from across the stage.
Yeah, now I'm a fan of Rotten.com. Please tell me he shot her in the face.
Nah, they don't allow that shit on the show. They wouldn't have showed it. But nah, man. And even you got those images in your head going, oh, man, this could go bad. And, you know, I even asked him afterwards because, man, he was shooting balloons off of all over her and shit. And they were like, yo, so is this like your husband? And she's like, nah, just a friend. And he's like, so how long you been doing this? And he's like, oh, she just started like last week. And he's like, so what happened to the last friend? You know, because the motherfuckers just signed up for this shit. Damn. So I don't know. They had this other shit, man. It was like a, man, it was a dance act, but they did it completely in the dark. And they had these, like, glow-in-the-dark shit. It looked like dinosaurs. And dinosaurs were running across the stage and shit. And, like, it was crazy as hell. You got to see this shit. And that was some shit that it went through. And it could actually be, the whole thing is they get, like, a Vegas act. That shit could be a Vegas act. Like, people could be gambling, running around drinking, having a good time in Vegas. And then go see this crazy, like, light-up-in-the-dark dinosaur show and shit where people are putting on this act. So I think that could work. It should look crazy. They had some other retard put a scorpion in his mouth. He went through. Another dance team motherfuckers was crying. Afterwards.
Yeah, what's up with that? Every time I watch, right, like, these guys be like, yeah, you know, we're from Harlem. This is our only way out, baby. And then they dance. And they dance hard, like they be crumping. You know, I'm telling you,
yeah.
Man, that's from my aunt who died 8 years ago. Like, well,
yeah, everybody died that I know except for y'all. Like, aw. You got to do this. I don't know you like that. But, it was crazy. But then they had this other dude. He was a street performer and like a he's like pop locking, but he was a contortionist too. So he'd do some like crazy shit where he pulled his arm up over his head and shit like that. But he was doing some like slow motion walk shit. Shit looked like he was walking on air. He was nice. He went through too. But yeah, I mean, there was some good stuff.
I'm sorry. So he didn't pop lock into like a pretzel formation or nothing.
He what?
Because he's a contortionist and he's a pop locker. He didn't pop lock into like a form of a pretzel.
Nah. But he was doing some shit. Like he put his arm behind his head and like brought it back through somehow. Like it was crazy shit. But he was doing like some like crab walking and then like spinning around and like. It was nutty, but some of the moves he had was just ridiculous. Like beyond any of that contortion stuff, like he had his shit down, and like his family had kicked him out and all that. So he had the story behind him too, where he ain't had nobody and he was street performing and all that stuff. No friends, no nothing brought with him. He was nice. So he'll be going through too. But that was that. So I'll be checking that shit out next week and talking some more shit about it, whatever. But
you got me sold on it. You got pop lockers and dinosaurs and flashing lights and shit. I might watch.
And then they had one more. They had these dance painters. That, like these cats were like dancing and then just like throwing some paint up and then made like this dude's face. Like within like that 90 seconds or whatever the fuck it takes, just like shit looked like complete art. Like you would see in like some gallery shit. Not that I go to galleries, but. You know, some old art shit. In like 90 seconds while dancing around and like doing some old shit. And it looked fucking crazy. So, I don't know, man. They definitely got some crazy talent. Not to be fucking cliche, like America's Got Talent, dude. But, they're doing some crazy shit out there. So, I don't know. Back to wrestling. Because that happens. Oh, yeah, my Heat fucking lost heavy. So, now I'm watching San Antonio and the Clippers, and I don't give a shit about that. I guess I'll go Ring of Honor. I guess I'll leave CZW for last with all my fucking fire towards that. Ring of Honor did Border Wars over on Saturday or whatever. The startup show, Rhino vs. Eddie Edwards. Eddie ended up winning, which I thought was a pretty great match, considering that I can't stand Rhino whatsoever. His dude, he's got like a handful of moves and never really impressed me. I mean, and he kept up with a guy, Eddie Edwards, that, I mean, he's a tremendous wrestler. So I was a big fan of Eddie. Ended up winning with like a roll-up or something, but, I mean, so many spots throughout the match just looked. The whole match looked really good. So that was a great opener. They went off of that to All Night Express with TJ Perkins against the Young Bucks and Mike Mondo. And Bret Titus lives right in my town. He lives like 5 minutes away from my house. I actually saw him in the gym a couple days before that match and shit. So, it's pretty cool, you know, seeing a guy bust his ass on pay-per-view when you see him in town, you know, half the other week. So it's good shit. I mean, it was a good match. A lot of back and forth stuff. TJP's phenomenal.
I'm a big fan of his work.
Yeah, back since he was Puma back then. I mean, he's been tearing it the fuck up. I remember, I think it was like 03, 04, something like that. he had even wrestled Samoa Joe in Ring of Honor when Joe was killing stuff, and I think he was like mid-card against Joe, and then Joe main evented against somebody else. So it was like crush Puma and then move on to somebody else, and Puma was still just doing his thing. And he wrestled a lot of SoCal stuff. He did the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla stuff for years, and he always been tearing it up. So, yeah, it was a good match. All Night Express came out with the win with TJP. Then Tommaso Ciampa versus Jay Lethal. They had that match. That was pretty good. They're doing a whole embassy thing with Ciampa. And Lethal's always been great.
I always thought he was underutilized inside TNA, so it was good to see him get his just dues over there in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know if he was underutilized in TNA. I mean, honestly, I was like, that was one of the most touching moments that I've seen as like an indie dude on my TV. Like to see him face to face with Ric Flair when he did the Ric Flair imitation, and he was face to face with Ric Flair, and it was just Jay Lethal and Ric Flair in the ring. And I mean, I was at shows in early 2000s, you know, sitting next to his parents with them screaming, "Let's go, Jay!" And him just tearing it up in Jersey All-Pro, to seeing him on my TV, nose-to-nose with Ric Flair, with him doing Ric Flair gimmick in Flair's face. I mean, that shit, that alone... You know, there's no reason in the world to let go of a guy like Jay Lethal, but at the time, that I don't think there's a better thing you can do.
Oh, well, I wasn't saying the part with Ric Flair, because that was gold. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you, like them two promos straight he shot with Flair, I popped hard for that. But I'm talking about afterwards, like after the match when he would just come out and be at the ramp and he would point at his kick pad and he wasn't doing the black machismo anymore. Like, I was like,
right.
You know, after that, it felt like they lost interest and they just, you know, booked them and whatever. Kind of like in the mode that they got AJ Styles in now. You know what I mean? Like, he's a good show. Yeah.
I agree. TNA does most of things wrong, so believe me, I'm not supporting what they're doing out there. It's pretty ridiculous.
Without a doubt.
Let me see what I got on here.
Hello?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You!
Oh, no, I'm home, dude. Sorry.
Oh, you're home? Okay.
Yeah, no, because you were talking about wrestling, so now I got to chime in and tell you something.
Okay, Juan, what's up?
Oh, no, chilling, dude. I got in and had to walk the dog and shit. You feel me? Nah, but you're talking about that, the whole Jay Lethal, Ric Flair, that shit was awesome. That was funny as shit.
Right.
Where he did the little knee drop on the, on the fucking, his jacket on the ramp.
Oh, yeah. Always the knee drop on the jacket.
But you talking about Samoa Joe, that was one of my favorite dudes, man. It still is. Because he's a big dude, fat guys gotta stick together.
Nah, I hear all that. Even though I ain't a fat guy, but... I mean, fuck, man. Speaking of TNA, bury him, motherfuckers. Like, Samoa Joe couldn't look like more of a just completely irrelevant dude for a guy who was fucking king of the indies at a certain point. That's...
Oh, man. That man was an animal.
Shit.
Yeah,
I mean...
That's true, but you know, at least he got a little bit of his swagger back. I mean, at least like 2 years ago when he was walking around with that tattoo on his face with the hammer pants. Oh,
man. Yeah, on the MMA, so Joe...
Yeah.
That's what I call him. He had like different, like, you say you got action figures? That's one of them,
yeah.
I would think. Like, MMA Joe.
MMA Joe.
MMA Joe, Skinny Joe. ROH Joe.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. It's sad. I'd really like to see him back on the indies or. I mean, I don't honestly, even though it'd be great for his career to see him in the WWE, I think he would get further buried and repackaged, and God knows if he would even make it. So, I don't know.
But I think there's a couple people jumping ship anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't even know what to say about somebody jumping ship from TNA to a fucking successful company. I mean, TNA is a company that has a lot of money to spend. It's not really like a successful company at all.
Yeah, you're right, but, you know, this is loyalty. Like, not even loyalty. Like, the old time, like, the first guy is, like, you know, AJ, that's his loyalty, pretty much. He's not going nowhere.
Loyalty or fucking WWE doesn't need him when it comes down to it. And honestly, AJ is a guy who I was always a big fan of on the indies. And even, you know,
going man, that man was incredible.
I had, you know, my oldest daughter, Mary Jane, I had her watching AJ Styles matches at like 2-3 years old.
Well, you had the bowl cut, that one?
But yeah, I mean, he was tearing it up back then. And it just, I don't know, he became that company guy for a company that's garbage.
And I mean, I know where he was on Wildside back in the day. I know you probably
right,
don't know.
Right. But when you look at what WWE has done with Matt Sydal, how much better do you think they can do for AJ Styles? I think we're looking at the same possibilities.
Yeah, but, you know, Matt Sydal right now is on the sideline and shit for some car accident, a major car accident, so I heard.
Right.
Matt Sydal is an animal, too. Like, if you go, like, look up some shit from ROH, that man can work. Fucking gives incredible.
That's why I'm making that comparison, is because the dude is incredible, but so is AJ Styles. You're looking at a younger version. I think it's pretty fair to say Sydal could do pretty much everything AJ can at this point, Evan Bourne, whatever you want to call him. If they don't really have much for him, and I know there was a little wellness policy, he was smoking fake weed, which I don't understand for shit. The fact that you get penalized for smoking fake weed, I don't know why you're not smoking regular weed.
Stay your system longer, that's why.
Well, you see how that worked out when you smoked fake weed and got caught. I mean, I just don't get it.
I want to say something, too. Earlier, like, you were talking about why WWE dropped, like, UFC's name a couple of times and shit.
Right.
I read somewhere that Tito Ortiz might be going to WWE.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I know you don't want to hear that shit, but, yep, that's what I read.
Tito in the UFC. It was actually a certain point of UFC which I liked. I don't really follow UFC much under the MMA scene. I watch like the big matchups. Same thing with boxing. And, you know, the big matchups I'll watch. And then the rest of it I kind of fall off. There was a point where Tito was fucking nasty. He was ripping through everything what the hell did they call him? The
Huntington Beach bad boy?
There you go. And he was ripping through everything. And then Chuck Liddell just beat the living shit out of him like he was fucking nobody. Like I walked in the cage and was just like, hey, buddy, what do you want to do? And he just fucking beat the living shit. I mean, he fucking jobbed him out. And it was just like, you know what? It was part of that type of thing where I kind of lost faith in the sport and was just like, one day you're the shit, next minute you're fucking nobody.
I don't understand that with mixed martial arts. It's like you can be so dominant in one fight and then just
Hold
a banana peel, get back fist in the other and lose, and then nobody. It's over. It's a wrap. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because, you know, some of those guys, they feel like, oh, shit, I lost in my first match. I'm not going back ever again. Look what happened to Bobby Lashley. That man was tearing up in MMA, but that one fight
he
got his ass whooped.
He should lose a couple feet of fucking intestine just like Brock did from all them goddamn steroids, and then maybe he'll come back to wrestling. But
he got his ass whooped, and
of course he did. Come on, man. Talking about real shit. Yeah, he's just fucking wrestling on steroids and like, look how big you are. Like, okay, you're big and so is the other dude and he actually knows how to fight. Like, so what? I mean, but it's probably my lack of patience why I can't deal with any of that shit, but it's the same thing that I can't get into college sports because you get your Heisman Trophy winners, you get your, you know, top prospect Ryan Leafs that one minute, you know, they're the shit, and then they show up in the NFL, they flop, and next thing you know, they're they're getting locked up, like, years later, and they're not even the memory. Like, oh, remember that guy that sucked a whole lot? Yeah, he's been out of the NFL for years, and now he's locked up. Like, so there's these things, it's just, I don't have the patience for that shit. You could follow a college team, and next thing you know, like, half their roster never made it, and the ones that did made it flopped, and you're like, oh, damn, well, I just followed that dumb shit for how many years? Like, and then every 4 years, your entire team has a new roster. And that's more or less the same shit as, like, a UFC. Like, every 4 years, there's a new top set of players. And 4 years is probably giving them more credit than college.
Yeah, you're right.
You would think that you would have to. I mean, you got people like, you know, Anderson Silva and Brock Lesnar punching your face in, like, every, what is it, like, every 4 or 5 months? I mean, you know.
But the thing is, Anderson, the Spider dude, Spider's an animal, dude. He had, you know, he had that damn title since 06.
Yeah, hold on, let him finish what he's saying, goddamn.
Oh, sorry about that, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, you know what I mean, like, you know, getting back-fisted by Anderson Silva and, you know, getting kneed in the face. I mean, you're not going to stay on top that long, so I can understand the switching, like, every, like, 3 to 4 years, you know?
Yeah, it's just hard, man. I mean, you know, I mean, look at the dominance of some boxers that are, you know, all-time greats and stuff. You're talking about a lot more than 3-4 years.
Yeah, true.
And they're getting hit by the best in the business, too. And they become the better in the business by prolonging and lasting longer than that shit. Look at fucking George Foreman.
I'm sorry,
you know, look at George Foreman, who was, you know, one of them dudes that was, he was a crusher. He was killing people, and then, you know, Ali put him to fucking sleep. Next thing you know, he comes back years later, makes a grill, comes back fucking a ton heavier, still boxing motherfucker. I mean,
he still got hands, though, man.
Yeah, there's just a different breed of, I don't really, there's not a longevity in UFC at all, and it's hard to follow.
I remember when they first came out, I watched that pay-per-view. I know it was,
I watched all these shits too. Remember the big dude? I think he was from Rawway. He was like a sumo dude or something.
Kumo?
And the dude broke his fucking wrist on his head. I think he's spinning back fist him and just like broke his half his arm on his head. And like he won the fight because he knocked him out, but he couldn't continue because he was like, my arm is beat, dude. I broke my arm on that dude's head.
Oh, that was horrible. I remember that too. Or the there was the one who was like Gracie versus Kumo. Started pulling his hair and shit, like actually.
I don't. She was crazy
balls.
Back then, though. Yeah. She was crazy as fuck, but I don't know, man. Like I said, there's no longevity in that. You know, I'm not saying, hey, yo, step it up, pussies. These guys are doing shit I don't want no parts of. I'm just saying, like. Man, what am I saying? It's hard to follow for me, you know?
Yeah. And nowadays, yeah, it's kind of hard to follow.
You miss a couple months and you got people going, oh, you don't know? That guy ain't shit no more. It's like, oh.
I was saying it's Silva, Spider, yo, you know he had that title since 06?
I wouldn't know. I just stopped paying attention.
That man had that title since 06, though, so no one beat him for that title yet. How the hell do you have a title for 6 years? Is it NWA?
I don't know. What do you think, bro? Eric, what do you think?
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, the other Eric.
He's the backbone of UFC, because, I mean, you can't knock it. I mean, I can't explain that, because, like, in UFC, it's like, a title ain't past, like, two fights seem, like, unheard of, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Damn, dude, that's, get a man.
Yeah. All right, well, UFC, whatever. I was actually in the middle of Ring of Honor when you called back in, Juan, so let me get back into that. You want to go on hold, or you want to just chill the fuck out, shut up?
I'm going to shut up. Shut
on your goddamn
heart.
Birthday.
All right, yeah, come on, man. Damn.
Shut up on your birthday, son. Anyway, Lance Storm beat Mike Bennett. And it was actually an okay match. Something about it, and could be completely wrong for this, and maybe in 6 months to a year, I'll tell everybody that I'm wrong. But I can't stand Mike Bennett, man. I think he's trash. I just can't stand his work. Something about it bores the shit out of me. But Lance Storm, man, he put out a great match, and Mike Bennett didn't do anything wrong in that match, and that match came off okay. And apparently they're saying, like, that could be the last match that we see out of Lance Storm. And if that's the case, man, he put on a great last match. So, that's, you know, it was in this show was in Canada, so, you know, for those who don't know. Next match was Adam Cole versus Michael Elgin. And, man, I got tons of respect for both of these dudes. Elgin ended up winning in a good match. Great mix of styles. Cole, you know, has got the quickness and, you know, just he's got believable talent. Young dude, and he's just tearing it up. I really expect to see this guy on TV within the next 5 years. Elgin, he's just unbelievably powerful. This dude has strength beyond strength. He can lift 2 and 3 people at the same time, like, and he can move. Like, he's got a lot of speed. That's what the thing is like, I see a lot of guys with size, and you can see a lot of guys with strength, but if they can't move, they kind of fall by the wayside because there's only so many people that they can work. So Michael Elgin is a guy that he can keep up pace with the majority of people. So that's why I've always kind of liked that dude. So I don't know what you guys think about him or
well,
overall.
Elgin's a beast. I was gonna say that Michael Elgin's a beast. I was in the I was in a battle royal with him before, and he chopped the hell out of me. My nipple was never quite the same. So I mean, yeah, but pretty much he's a beast, man. Like, we can stop him. And Adam Cole, yeah, he'll probably be on TV in no time. He got the look, he's got the moveset. I mean, he's all around, man. He's the package.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that day, man. I see him on TV. He's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Because he can play a good-ass heel. Don't get me wrong. That man can play the shit out of a heel if they make him a
Luke
heel.
Cole?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at his CZW work as far as a heel go, because he's been heel for too long. Honestly, he's definitely ready for a face turn. That as far as the CZW thing, fuck Ring of Honor with their goddamn contracts, straight up. Because they don't do shit when it comes to the big companies. The big companies can buy those fucking contracts out in a second. It's more or less a politic bullshit move out of fucking Gabe and Carrie, and don't want motherfuckers, I don't need you working over there. I don't need you. If you're on iPay-per-view for us, I don't want you on iPay-per-view for them. So for the same reason, fucking Adam Cole had to be a fucking dark match against Tony Nese at Best of the Best. Come on, man.
I thought they were new owners.
What?
I thought there was a new president, new owner.
Yeah,
there's
a new owner. It doesn't matter. It's the same politic and bullshit. Whatever. I forget what the fuck they're called. Oh, man. I was just saying this shit the other day. But it doesn't matter. It's like a company or whatever. But it's all, like, laid the groundwork from by Carrie and stuff like that. So it's not like mountains and, you know, everything has moved since they've been in charge. It's the same bullshit. But, it just holds back workers. When you're talking about, yeah, Adam Cole is on CZW. He's been CZW for all this time. Well, now he's got to be on a dark match. One of their top stars is going to be on a dark match on Best of the Best because he cannot be on their iPay-per-view. Because Ring of Honor works iPay-per-views, and they will not allow that to happen. So,
man, you better tell them to put a mask on that dude.
Maybe you should do it. That's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. Rebrand him under a mask.
Yeah, put El Snowflake or something.
El Snowflake. No, dude, that's Human Tornado, dog.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that. Shit.
And you put a mask on, we could be Viano number 13.
or Snow Cole.
Snow Cole. You keep thinking. I don't know. Man. So anyway, then they had Roderick Strong versus Fit Finlay. It was an okay match. Broderick has lost a lot of his fucking spark, a lot of his, and I've heard a lot of other people. I was always a big fan of Broderick back in the day when he first came out. He wrestled Samoa Joe in IWA. CM Punk was on commentary, and he was saying, this kid's got freaky retard strength. And he was like, you know, he's got all these fucking crazy moves off the knee, and don't let him fucking spike Samoa Joe on his knee or he'll turn it into a fine powder. And sure enough, fucking Roger dropped fucking Joe on his knee. Fucking no problem. Roderick was a beast, and he was doing his thing back then. He was doing a lot of impressive, crazy, like, variations of backbreakers and just doing shit to, like, really, like, surprise the crowd. It wasn't just the same old shit. Some point, he fell into kind of a routine basis, and I think that's where he lost a lot of people. I haven't seen a whole shitload of his recent work, because I don't watch Ring of Honor that, you know, regularly, but I've heard a lot of people shitting on him, saying that he's the worst, he's terrible, I don't like to see him, he's boring, this and that. I'm like, damn. Seems like a lot for a guy who I've seen a lot of talent of back in the day. And I wouldn't go as far as they've gone, but I would say that I don't think he has the same spark. He doesn't have the same draw that he used to. I don't know if either one of you guys have seen Roderick or what your thoughts on him from then to now is.
Honestly, great wrestler. Really is. I remember him in Combat Zone when he went to ZZW. That man can work. I don't know why people talk shit about him.
I agree he can work. I'm not. I would never say that the guy can't work, but what's wrong?
Well, I don't see a problem with him. Well, okay, he got a routine. He may have lost his spark here and there. All right, everyone got that little rust patch they run through, then they bounce back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean,
I don't know. And I don't think that, like, the match that he had with Fit Finlay will be revered the same way that the matches that, you know, Sammy is having with Fit Finlay.
Awesome.
I think Sammy is killing it with Fit Finlay, and he is impressing to death. And I don't think, like, I think if people go and ask Fit Finlay who's the next guy who should go here, who's the next guy who should go there, if he was still a scout with the WWE, you're going to hear Sammy out of his mouth a lot more than you'll hear Roderick. And I'm sure he'll probably mention Roderick as well, because Roderick can work, but they're going to have to retool Roderick and come up with moves for him and all of that stuff. And I don't see why. Roderick was a guy with a vast array of shit before, and I think he's narrowed that down to, like, a handful of things that he just wants to continue to do. I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're trying to hold him back. I don't know how ROH is working anymore.
I don't want to blame it on the company, honestly. I'll blame shit on the company in a minute, but I'm not that one.
Because, like, I remember when RH first came out. Awesome shit. Because, I turned on Channel 48. Everybody knows Channel 48. If you don't know Channel 48, you got problems.
I got problems. I don't know what Channel 48 is.
Kidding me, dude? That's why I watch, like, fake UTVs to come on.
I didn't get none of that shit on my TV, man. I go to shows live. I didn't get that shit on my TV.
Wait a second, Jay. You never sat there at 10 o'clock and watched ECW and wait for 12 o'clock to watch CZW on Channel 48, cuz?
Watch ECW?
Back in the day, that channel was ran by...
Back in the day, I watched ECW, but I didn't have CZW on my TV. Like, I live in, like, by Seaside and shit. And that shit don't come on my TV. Like, I was going to shows live every single month. But
I only made it one show. That was it. And all of a sudden I see on TV, the hell yeah. Finally,
I started going February 2001 at Crushing the Competition in Sewell. And I've missed only a handful of shows since, as far as CZW goes.
I remember when, like, I seen that shit, like, I said, what the fuck is this? See, white bowls, I think, oh yeah, I'm watching this shit now. Then after that came on,
I went to the shows, seen the matches, and still was wishing I could see the same shit on my TV. I had the fucking tapes. and seen the show live and was still like, I wish the motherfucker would come on my TV. That shit would feel cool as hell to see that shit. And nope, just didn't. I flipped through the channels all you like. It did not come up on the Comcast in my fucking area.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, it just disappeared. I was like, holy shit, what the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man.
There was, like, further north and further, like, south or west coming towards Philly, and they all had it. I was like, this middle ground that did not have that shit, and I was like, this is bullshit, because I'm a regular fucking fan, and I can't watch. Fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah, okay. I was in Trenton. Remember, I was an hour away from, well, I was 40 minutes away from Philly.
I was still VTR taping shit off the TV, and I still couldn't get the motherfucker. I was like, God damn it. But anyway. Wrestling's greatest tag team, beat the Briscoes. This was like a, like hardcore type of match without honor or whatever the fuck they call that shit. And, you know, weapons and beat the shit out of each other.
What's it called? Something without honor. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And they had a good brawl. Those are four tremendously talented fucking dudes. And again, when I was talking about the tag team division in the WWE, it needs to include those four dudes. Obviously, they had the first two under contract already. Why they let those guys go is probably because they didn't care about the tag team division. But, I mean, again, you know, speaking to Kofi, talking about
Hillbilly,
you know,
Wrecking Crew.
Huh?
Hillbilly Wrecking Crew.
Oh, well, you're talking about Jersey Offer now. But, I mean, talking about, you know, guys who were MVP of the Money in the Bank, before it was Kofi Kingston, it was Shelton Benjamin. It's like, dude was just the shit. Like, he was the go-to guy, the guy that was going to pull off the craziest shit during one of those matches, like run up the ladder and do a German, or, you know, stuff that they just really didn't allow people to do on WWE TV, or, you know, have the confidence in those guys to pull it off crisp, and those are the guys that would do it, you know, no fault. But, yeah, I mean, they put it on. Wrestling's greatest tag team ended up winning with, let me just call it an ether rag. So,
what?
What's kind of awkward, you know, some kind of spray can onto a rag and then cover Briscoe's mouth.
Oh, what year are we in?
Match over. Ether rag. You know?
What year are we in?
I don't have a NAS clip, otherwise I go to that. But,
fuck, we're not in the 1990s? This ain't...
Last time I played ether was when I put on those ECWA jerk-offs on blast, but that's a side note. I think I put it off my... my soundboard since then. But yeah, ether rag for the win.
Wow. I have not even, I mean, I've seen that spot before back in the day when I was like 8 years old.
Yeah, well, you know, flashback.
All I know is I'm let down right now because I'm going to love the sound clip of ether right now. But
oh, ether?
I would have loved the sound clip for it, but you know, it's okay.
I'm looking, Jesus Christ, now people are wanting stuff. You know? It sucks, and I keep telling people this. Blog Talk blows. That's what I'm on, obviously. And
of course it does. Well, we love it, though.
Do we? If you paid them, you wouldn't.
Did you pay them?
fuck you on. Fucking $100 a month cost me to do this shit, okay? You know,
hey, well, we still love it though.
No respect. You ask, do I pay them? In the words of Richard Pryor,
are you drunk, motherfucker?
You know, me and Blog Talk.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together like my nuts.
But he was planning to jump ship and go somewhere else. We were talking about that one day.
The what?
He was about to go. You were about to go somewhere else when Eric was around.
Oh, yeah. Well, what can you do with that?
It was C-SPAN or some bullshit, or the other one?
Dude, I have no idea what's going on from minute to minute. I'm just trying to fucking do my thing. That's what, you know what I mean?
That was hilarious.
I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
I don't know. I haven't played Sound Drops in the longest fucking time because I've been doing a show by myself, so it's hard to fucking talk and try to, like, cue up shit, so excuse me for that. Anyway, let me go on to the main event, which I have a shitload to say about, and I'll get you guys' opinion afterwards, but I fucking can't stand this dude, and everybody's on his dick, and I gotta go into it. So main event, Davey Richards versus Chaz Bono, excuse me, Kevin Steen. So, this dude, Kevin Steen, man, like, back in the day when the Canada guys came in, and they were, you know, they came into CCW, Generico, Steen, Excess,
Super Dragon.
No, he's not. He's not one of them.
I thought he was Canadian all this time. Shit.
No, he's Cali.
Oh,
so
okay.
You had Super Dragon, El Generico, but not Super Dragon. So you got me fucked up. Jesus Christ. It was a four-way. It was
Generico, Steen, and two other people.
Oh, thanks. You caught me up. Generico, Steen, Excess, and fourth person. It wasn't. I mean, they brought in Beats Wellington. They brought in fuck, man. I forget who the fourth person in that shit was in the CZW four-way. The big entrance. Do you remember Eric or no?
No, not offhand.
When they did that, it was like, I think it was the Night of Infamy, and they did like the early show and the night show or some shit like that.
Name the two that was in it so far? You said Beef Wellington.
No, not Beef Wellington, but they had brought him over at the same time.
He named something after food.
All right, Juan. So it was Kevin Steen, El Generico, Excess, and, oh, Sexy Eddie. There you go. So they brought all those over pretty much off the success of Sexy Eddie and doing his thing in Tournament of Death and, you know, pissing blood out his arm like Spider-Man and shit. Well, Kevin Steen back then, he was doing some severely innovative shit. I mean, you had a majority of guys in there were high flyers. He was the guy who was the power guy. He was doing crazy fucking moves, you know, the package pile driver. He was doing kind of like a power bomb where he would tuck the dude's head and then suplex him off of that. He was doing that go-home driver joint. He was doing every fucking thing he did now, he did back then, 40 pounds lighter, quicker, kept up with all the fucking lightweights, all that shit. That's what he was doing. I like that dude. I have a fucking red and a black Mr. Wrestling Kevin Steen shirt around this motherfucker somewhere. So, right now, though, the dude looks like Chaz Bono. And all of a sudden, everybody's on his dick. They're yelling, kill Steen, kill, and now he's shooting on people. He's fucking CM Punk in the indies now all of a sudden where he's shooting, and oh, God, he's taking over. If I see one more of these fucking ROH marks post a picture with Kevin Steen with the belt and telling fucking people, look out, ROH, Kevin Steen's taking over, he's your worst nightmare, ROH. Like, you fucking retards. They booked that shit.
Thanks, Twitter.
They booked that shit. He didn't overcome the fucking booking staff and fucking walk in there and be like, I'm taking the title whether you like it or not. Like, get over yourselves, motherfucker. It's a work. It's, you know, when someone becomes champion, it's not because they're legitimately badass. They were booked to do that shit. Like, cut it out. You motherfuckers are getting on my nerves. Stop with your fucking statuses and posting that shit as your own picture. You're fucking retarded. I'll delete everybody with that shit on their fucking wall. All
right.
So anyway.
I gotta take mine down then. Sorry about that.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, Jesus. I lose a couple friends a day. Anyway, so, I mean, on the early going of the match, Chaz fails to take an over the rope clothesline. You know, the point where, like, Davey hits him with the fucking clothesline and he's supposed to, like, go over the rope. but then Davey's got to, like, come back and, like, push him over the rope. Because, you know, Chaz has such phenomenal fucking agility at this point that, you know, he just does that well. And, it, you know, and here's the other thing. Like, people get on Davey for no-selling, and I understand that. Davey isn't the best at selling. But there is no way in hell, and I watched this match specifically with that in mind, there is no way in hell that fucking Steen sold shit in that match any more than Davey did. No way. So, he does that. Steen, like, Davey was working his knee all fucking match. Steen gets fucking kicked in the knee and immediately fucking goes into fucking putting dude in a sharpshooter. Okay. Then fucking a knee strike after the fucking sharpshooter, when his knee is being worked on, he hits a knee strike. Then Richards double stomps his knee, then puts him in an ankle lock. Then Steen F5s Richards, or he's calling it like the F set or whatever the French version of an F5 is. Which takes obviously no knee strength. When you're getting your knee work, you can just put a guy on your shoulders and F5 him because that's normal. And then does a moonsault off the top rope, you know, to clear. And Kevin Steen has an awesome moonsault. He always has. But he does that awesome moonsault after a tremendous amount of knee work. Then Richards uses an ankle lock. Up, Steen back into the sharpshooter. Then Davey back into ankle lock. Okay, well, Steen ends up winning via package pile driver. So that's that. Okay. Where did Steen sell during that? Like, you can wince a little bit while you do all these moves that involves your knee after the dude worked the knee the whole fucking match, but, man, it doesn't really sell. My thing at this point, where is fucking Kevin Steen any better than Danny DeMano? Where? I mean, honestly, at their shape and their size and their ability, and Danny DeMano's come a long way, and this isn't just fully putting over Danny, or this isn't fully putting down Steen, but if you gave Danny DeMano a fucking Kevin Steen match and said, dude, move for move, work that match with this dude, and he worked it out in the fucking ring as far as, you know, what he was going to do with another dude, do you think Danny DeMano couldn't pull off what Kevin Steen does? I think he can. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that everybody's on Kevin Steen's dick these days.
He's an asshole.
Well, I mean, I don't know the guy, but I'm just saying. He looks like Chaz Bono. He works like Danny DeMano, and somehow he's one of the most over people in fucking independent wrestling. So I don't get it. He wasn't that over when he was fucking 40 pounds lighter and faster. So
it's funny
why?
How like Super Dragon and him got fat.
Well, Super Dragon, Jesus Christ. Let's stop. I don't want to get into more fat people. Let's stop.
Fat.
So, I don't know. Eric, what do you think? And you don't have to jump on my ship, but, you know.
Nigerian nightmares.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm watching. I don't want to get my Nashville in a couple of months or something like that down the road, and I get thrown through the ceiling. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that interview. But, no.
Nah.
But, no, I don't know. It was like it really was like a rise in popularity out of nowhere, and he got a little bit heavier. So, I mean, just I don't know. I can't even call it, to be honest with you.
I hear you. It wasn't a bad overall show. It's just, you know, just certain things like that annoy me because I'm a huge fan of independent wrestling. And when I watch these guys for years, I'm like, man, this guy's the truth and shit. And he's just not really getting any shine. And then dude fucking, like, gains 40 pounds and doesn't shave for a while. And, you know, I rock facial hair, too. So
and Grizzly Adams.
Yeah, I mean, it's just overall, I don't get it. Like, and then meanwhile, El Generico is getting shit on and fucking Evolve by Loki. Evolve and Dragon Gate. Like, he's just getting treated like a piece of shit by Loki. And I guess that's the angle and shit, and that works real well. But, like, why not have Loki step up and beat the fat out of fucking Kevin Steen right now? I guess that doesn't work. that doesn't work in his gimmick. So I don't know. Anyway, I got a shitload of stuff to talk about with the dub. The CZ dub, I got some shit to talk about that show. I guess I kind of left that for the main event. And I'm going to take another break, and then I'm going to get to that.
Man, what's the Meek Mills on? Oh.
The what?
Do you hear the new Meek Mills yet? The Dream Chasers 2?
I heard the new Meek Mill. I played one of them songs last week. You know, listen to my fucking show last week?
I remember. I was
see what
shit.
I mean? Fuck out of here.
I have it on my iPod.
iPod my nuts, motherfucker. Good.
Yeah, iPod. Right.
Yeah, well, you should have it on your fucking iPod. Man.
Yeah,
anyway.
Podcasting.
Getting on my fucking nerves right now. Alright, so I'm gonna play this track. I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna get into that CZW shit. Alright, check it.
Ready,
listen.
Hey.
Right.
Hey.
God damn it.
Right. too long.
Bitch, I'm on one. Bitch, I'm on one. Bitch, I'm on one.
There you go. Some Jadakiss. I know you was dying for some Meek Mill, but if you listened last week, you would have heard it wrong. What can I do for you?
I listen to it every day.
Yeah, well, you know, iPod, motherfucker, like you said. Put the shit in your ear and listen. And there you go.
I put that in my car and listen to it.
Well, do that too. And I'm hopefully in the near future going to get on that Stitcher shit, because them motherfuckers can get on that shit on all their mobile devices and stuff. And I hear that's like the new rage, is motherfuckers is on Stitcher. So I'm gonna try to do that, because I don't get enough listens, quite honestly. Motherfuckers is hating. Like, I sent out a whole shitload of shirts, hit motherfuckers up for free and all that shit. And by the way, I will be getting my fucking shirts this weekend, my new shits, and motherfuckers is going to be paying. So, fuck them. I listen to
your show, so.
Hey, man. Shirts don't always come that big. That's all I'm trying to say, Juan. You already got a shirt.
I know. I wear it all the time.
Yeah, that's sweet. I haven't got one fucking tag picture on the fucking Facebook yet.
I know. I got to do it when I get a chance.
Ain't that a bitch? You know what I'm saying? All I asked is I sent out like 30 shirts and shit. I know, Eric, this feels like, you know, daddy hitting mommy at the table and shit, but I sent out like fucking 30 shirts. I paid for fucking the shirts. I paid for the shipping. And I fucking just said, here, motherfucker, send me a fucking picture. Show motherfuckers you like my shit.
What are you talking about? I put a picture up. Not me in it, but I took a picture and put it up.
I ain't get around to it yet. I'm sorry. I just, you know, kind of been doing other shit. Like, yeah, I got you. All right, motherfucker. So, anyway, but next shirts, I'm just trying to cover price for what I spent, which is a lot. And I ordered like 50 of them to one. So I'm going to hit some people up. Some of my guests, not fucking listeners, I'm a fucking guest. I'm going to hit up, you know what I mean? Do me a solid coming on, no problem. Hit them up. Do a couple comps and all that, but cause this new design is hot. So I think people are going to like it. And, you know, probably do like $10 for other cats. It's just whatever. I probably just cover the shipping, and I'm still eating costs on making them, so fuck it. Whatever, but probably get them this weekend. I'll let everybody know what the deal is. What else? I think I had some.
He's on CZW, right?
Huh?
I said, you about to do CZW, right?
Oh, yeah, no. I ain't forgetting about that. Don't you worry. I got that. I'm just trying to see what I got before that. My next week's guest is, Where is my shit?
Nigerian Nightmares.
No, it's not. It's not at all. That shit kills me. Those cats got a gimmick, though. Like, honestly, I think those dudes, and it's crazy because they should probably be in the E, but I don't know. I guess there's a certain amount that shit doesn't work anymore for being morbidly obese, but, like, those dudes got a gimmick that fucking works. Oh, and before I go too far, because I kind of got like a somewhat of a vibe that you was feeling what I was doing, Eric. What's your thoughts on ECWA?
I think their talent is good.
What the hell do you say?
I'm being politically correct. I think their talent is good. I think their management is shit. That is all.
Give me that. That is all. Okay. Jesus Christ. Well, I mean, their cameraman is a, you know, convicted sex offender. And they've removed his name from their website. And the one talent that I don't think is good for shit, he thinks he's better than he is that Breaker Morant guy. I think he's a piece of shit. He just you know, calls people out on the internet, claims he's like a 13-year veteran or whatever. I think it's 13 years. But he's never done shit, and I've talked to other people that I'm not going to call out. I'm not going to put their names out there, but I've talked to other people that did more than him, that said straight up that, like, yeah, that dude just thinks that, like, people are supposed to come to him and make him famous, but I guess he just doesn't get it. Like, you know. Again, I'm not looking for anyone to throw themselves under the bus or anything like that, so I get it. But, yeah, I don't like the way that they conduct business over there. I think it's bullshit. They run at boys and girls clubs with a convicted sex offender at ringside. And when I addressed it and I put it on blast, they more or less just said, all right, we'll remove his name from all our shit and then continue to use him. It's like, that's fucking weird. So anyway, here's a little joint on who my next week's guest is going
to
be.
Let me just backtrack a little bit. When I went to go pick her up, she didn't look really much like her pictures. A little fatter than normal in the pictures. I'm just being honest, okay? She wasn't as pretty as the pictures. Just wasn't really my type, but I figured she was...
Mr. Burke, I have to tell you something, sir.
Yeah.
I don't know where you think you are,
okay,
but I'm going to disabuse you of the fact that you're on television.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
Because you don't want to go where you're overweight, raise your right hand. Where you may not look like your picture, raise it a little higher. Now you can put it down. I want you to remember, Mr. Burke, where you are.
Yeah.
If you can't, you can leave with good luck. Do you understand? I don't want you to think you're going to be cutesy with me. You're not auditioning for anything, sir.
I understand.
Now we understand each other a little bit better?
Yes, Your Honor.
Perfect. Thank you, Your
Honor. Okay. So, yeah, Judge Judy will be on next week. No, I'm talking with you. Nick Berg will be on next week. And he's not going to be cutesy with me neither, I tell you what.
Are you going to make a
real
lot of
fun. What's up?
I said, are you going to ask some questions and make him raise his hand too?
Oh, a little higher, Burke. A little higher.
Should add Nick Burke to sell you a car. He's a car salesman.
Listen, man, I ain't trying to undercut you for your business, homie. You know, what am I supposed to do? So anyway, CC fucking W fucking the whole pose and everything I'm doing right now. Anyway,
you gotta play the Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I got that somewhere. Jesus Christ, why did I? No, I'm never prepared for shit. I should do that type of shit. I mean, you know, people, you know, put notes and just be like, yeah, maybe you should do that, and they're like, you know, might as well.
Jesus.
There we go. There we go. So anyway, the show started, and you know, why should I blame Zandig for this shit? That's half the reason why I don't do this shit. CCW's proving grounds, proving that DJ can't book for shit. Match one, my homie G's versus Drake Younger. Good match, great opener, I would say. Fucking sick Drake's landing for the finish. Holy shit. He dropped G's on his motherfucking head. I can't blame Drake for that. I can't blame G's for that. Either way you look at it, G's landed on his motherfucking head. He was laid out in the ring. And, well, at this point, CZW found it necessary to have Larry Legend announce, there's a vehicle, license plate, blah, 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 and your lights are on. Jesus laid the fuck out in the ring like a fucking, like a gunshot victim. And they're like, there's Illumina in the parking lot, silver vehicle, with the license plate, GHF. 1FC, your lights are on. And this fucking guy's just laying there. And they're trying to roll him onto some shit to cart him out. They're fucking spending the next 3 days talking about how he had a severe stinger and his neck is fucked up. And you're like, he just had that shit happen. By the way, motherfucker, your lights are on. And the fuck, like, holy shit, that was fucking weird. So, then they have 13 come out with fucking annoying fucking kill yourself club music, by the way. Well, no, Lucky 13, because they couldn't break away from the 13 because they tried to do that. Okay, he was 13 up until the 13th anniversary show. Then they went back to calling him Lucky. That show sucked bad. And then they went back to calling him 13, but they called him Lucky 13. But he's back to wearing the Lucky gear that he wore when he was from the Jersey All-Stars shit. So, 13 with Club Music beat Ruckus. Oh, and they added the 13, calling him the Alpha Predator. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, wow.
What the fuck are you talking? The Alpha Predator?
Yeah, Lumina's mine. That was my car.
This motherfucker gets jobbed all over the place. Told me himself. They only put me in the fucking area assault matches to do a couple spots and job out. Like, dude, what the fuck? Like, you, the Alpha Predator. Jesus Christ, man. They got him in the Nation of Intoxication. He's the only motherfucker not featured. You got Danny Havoc. You got Scotty Vortex. And you got fucking... Devin Moore. Devin Moore was a champion undeservingly for well over a year. Even though I like the dude a lot and he's a great worker and all of that shit, he had no charisma as a champion. It was a terrible idea. Scotty Vortex, they put the title on him for a minute. Again, terrible idea. No charisma. Great fucking worker. Deserved the Tournament of Death win. Deserved to be in every main event he was ever in. If I was booking a show, I would include Devin Moore. I would include Scotty Vortex. I would definitely put them on fucking big name matches because they perform. But can they be a flagship? Absolutely not. Danny Havoc, one of the best deathmatch wrestlers in the business right now. Yeah, great. All great. Where does Lucky fall into that? Where does 13 fall into that? About 13th place. So that's awesome when you have four guys. But... the Alpha Predator. That's cute. Okay. That was an okay match. Ruckus, man, a huge fan of the dude, huge friend of the dude, and nothing mentioned badly. I mean, the dude, you know, performed great. Everything went great. It was an okay match, but nothing was mentioned, nothing was worked, nothing was, and this is, I'm setting up something, like, later in the show by saying this, but nothing was, like, led on to be wrong with Ruckus and the Blackout and stuff like that. So, okay. Next match, Alexander James, and for those who don't know who the fuck that is and shouldn't, he is like a, do you guys remember the Creepy Crawlers? They were like,
no.
When we were kids, there was, like, these molds, and you would pour you would pour this, like, rubbery shit into there, and it would make a bug.
It was candy.
Oh, yeah. I remember those, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a creepy crawler of Chris Hero. So he's, like, if you just poured, like, liquid plastic into some shit that looked like Chris Hero, that's what he is. So that's what he's doing right now. So it's that guy versus Shane Strickland, who I think is a phenomenal dude. Like, he's a young, up-and-coming dude. This is the up-and-coming dude match. Shane Strickland has a tremendous amount of charisma, dances around, has a lot of fucking fun. You can tell when he's out there, he's having the time of his fucking life. He has a lot of athletic ability. I like that dude. I want to see a lot of him in the future. Latin Dragon, another dude who has a lot of fucking talent. He has a lot of steps to make, but in the same token, I think he could do a lot of things within the cruiserweight division throughout time. Sure. Alexander James wins, and he fucking sucks. He does every fucking thing he can to be Chris Hero. He does that. He does, like, a variation of the Hero's Welcome. He does fucking cravats. He does fucking this. He does every fucking thing you could pull out of a Chris Hero match and just watch and be like, well, I like Chris Hero. And, like, oh, this guy kind of looks like him. Oh, wow. Isn't that some shit Hero does? Oh, shit. Isn't that another thing Hero does? And it's just like, you go through the match going, can you fucking cut it out. With the running fucking senton on the dude, can you fucking stop it? Is that a hero's welcome? Oh, no, it was reversed, but I bet you that we was going for it. Like, Jesus fucking Christ. What a piece of shit. Like, I'm not a fan. That's fucking garbage. Like I said, Strickland needs to be a regular, and so does Latin Dragon. Alexander James needs to be something other than a fake wannabe Chris Hero. That's it. I mean, I don't know the dude personally. I can't say that he's a bad dude. I can say that trying to be exactly like Chris Hero with fucking red hair, with the same exact haircut, with the fucking majority of your moveset being the same thing, you're not Chris Hero, dude. Cut it the fuck out. Like, it's fucking annoying. You're not getting over. Listen to the crowd. Oh, wait, there's nobody clapping. There's nobody making any fucking response yet. Okay, stop listening to the crowd and start listening to your heart.
Does he have the same outfit as Chris Hero, like with the S and everything?
No, he should have an A and a J, but then he'd probably be, like, I think he would put the A and the J together to look like a Superman logo, but then he would be worried that people would think he's trying to be AJ Styles, and they would fucking really hate that because he's really trying to be Chris Hero. So he doesn't want to, like, mislead people. So that's what I think is going on there. But, and he's Drew Gulak's, like, lackey. He's, like, one of Drew Gulak's team. That's what his gimmick is otherwise.
Wow.
He spent, like, 3 months where, like, supposedly Lucky, my, you know, aforementioned superstar in the Nation of Intoxication, like, spiked something that he drank or something. So he spent, like, 3 months pretending like he was on PCP because apparently PCP works for 3 months. I don't get it. I don't understand. Maybe I know too much. I'm not a Sherm head, but in the same token, I'm a Jesus Christ. Stop it. It's fucking ridiculous. So then DJ comes out in a shitty T-shirt looking like an Advanced Auto Parts fucking employee or a fired security guard. He's got, like, a little logo on his right man tit and, you know, shit on the back that says DJ Hyde and shit. And, he cuts a little shitty fucking promo, and he's trying to be a heel with all his might. And all his might, he's trying to be a heel. And, you know, he sees a guy in the crowd with a Cult Fiction shirt and goes, "Yeah, I see you with your Cult Fiction shirt. They'll never be back here." And then he goes, "Oh, yeah, and something else. Nick Gage, fuck him. He's in jail. He's not coming back, and he couldn't even carry my bags." Okay, so first off, there's guys still supporting Cult Fiction in the crowd.
Of course we are.
You wrote them out of storyline personally. I'm a personal friend of Billy Graham. You wrote them out of fucking storyline personally. You've decided that you no longer want to include them in the company, but there's still people showing up to your company with that shirt on to try to push that. Now, you can play your heel. You can do your thing. A proper heel would keep it within people within the company. Now, when you decide to not book somebody that fans are still behind, that to me is a cheap fucking pop as a heel, because why would you go that direction knowing that, I mean, and I'm going to get into that in a minute about DJ and what he needs and not needs to be doing, but fucking Gage is in jail. You'd be sucking Gage's dick right now for him to not beat the fucking face off of you and to be the biggest face in your company if he wasn't in jail. Let's be fucking real. So to use the fact that he's in jail and use the, well, oh, Drew Gulak already did that as a heel and fucking did it well and came out with the fucking Gage shirt and did the whole Gage thing and came out to Gage's music and all of that stuff and got over huge as a heel right after Gage got locked up. So now this amount of time afterwards, we're going to rehash it. And we're going to, "Oh, Gage this, and Gage couldn't carry my bags, and blah, blah, blah." Like, shut your fucking fat mouth. Like, first off, you have not been booked as a fucking main eventer in any company that you didn't own. Let's be fucking real, DJ. Second off, Gage couldn't carry your bags. Gage fucking hit you with the wrong part of the chair at least 3 fucking times and left you bleeding on the side of the ring like you didn't mean shit to anybody. So that's what fucking Gage means, and the crowd fucking loved it. You know, I just think it's a fucking shit move to treat somebody like shit who was a bigger part in a company that you bought than you ever were or ever will be. And I think it's retarded. And as far as shitting on Cult Fiction, again, it was a hugely overstable. People are still wearing the shirt this many years later. And I can't understand. I can't understand why. Okay, if Billy can't let it go, if anybody from that crew can't let it go, well, they were let go. So I would understand their animosity. But the fact that somebody runs a company and then sees somebody else supporting someone that you decided not to use and you still can't get it out of your fucking mouth, wow, that's fucking ridiculously douchey. Like, you can't stop talking about some motherfuckers that you decided not to use anymore. Oh, what does that look like? It's such a cheap shit fucking heel move, and it's not a heel move. There's a heel where you are playing a good bad guy, and then there's a heel where people legitimately don't fucking like you, and it's worked for so many different people. And then people will be like, I'm just a great heel. Like, no, people fucking hate you. Fucking Z-Bar. Fucking people legitimately walked out of the fucking building in IWA Mid-South show because they fucking hated him.
I saw that video on YouTube where everybody turned their back towards him during the match, too.
Hmm?
I said there's also that video on YouTube when everybody turned their back towards him during his match.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what happens. When people legitimately don't like you, they do those type of things. When you're just a heel, people are like, man, I hope the other guy beats him up. That's never really happened with DJ. Like, with DJ, you're just like, can you stop fucking wrestling? Your shit is boring. You're fucking killing me. And DJ, what he's done is he has gone out of his way to book himself against the biggest fucking draw in the company. He's done it with Sami Callihan. He's done it with Adam Cole. He's done it with fucking Mia Yim. He's working different things with Matt Tremont, who's one of the most fucking uprising deathmatch guys right now. His current thing is with him, and it's just non fucking stop douchebaggery. And it's just like, 1 month you're in a suit, 1 month you're in your Advanced Auto Parts fucking T-shirt that has your fucking name on it. And how much did you spend for that fucking shirt? Because I'm buying shirts myself. So
I got
if you bought,
one.
If you bought the shirt for anywhere near what I bought, I know you ain't fucking selling them. So, like, what are you're giving away? Like, I'm giving away? Like, that's something else, man. That style of shirt ain't even cool no more. That's fucking crazy. So anyway, That's my DJ thing. Said he needs to fucking. There's a couple things that DJ needs to. Well, that's not just my DJ thing. So I'm not done apparently. One thing he needs to do is he needs to focus on fucking business. He needs to focus on booking shit that makes sense. He needs to focus on his fucking company because there's so many things he's fucking focusing on. They ain't got shit to do with fucking success, ain't got shit to do with making sense, and there's a lot of other shit that has to do with him just getting over it, him being a fucking dude on camera. He needs to be the owner that you don't even fucking see. And he should also hire someone to book because he can't fucking book, okay?
I'll book. Ask him to hire me.
No. Because half of your fucking opinions, dude, you post all this shit, the bitches you like online, man, they're like 85 pounds overweight. And I see that shit on my wall. I'm like, Juan, what the fuck? You ain't booking shit that I'm paying for. Fuck that. So anyway.
Nigerian Nightmares versus Killer Bees.
Yeah, Nigerian Nightmares in a fucking brown panties match if it was up to you. Get the fuck out of here. So anyway, TOD, they booked this. Drunken scaffold match. DJ cuts that bullshit promo, and then he starts announcing shit that you're supposed to pop for. That's how DJ does. He's like, I fucking hate you people. Fucking, oh, you got a Cult Fiction shirt. Fuck them forever. They'll never be back. Oh, and you know what? Nick Gage is in jail, and I'll never book him again. Like, that's even an option right now. Like, you know, no jailhouse matches for you fuckers. You can't carry my bags. Like, oh, wow, you're an awesome heel. I can't believe the fucking talent you have. Fucking cunt. So then he goes, so anyway, TOD, first round fucking drunken scaffold match. It's Danny Havoc versus Devin Moore versus Lucky 13. Yeah, you fuckers. And then fucking, now how can you be that big of a douche and then go, here's a JC Bailey tribute match. Triggs Younger versus Rory Mondo in a ladder match. Oh, you're tributing people now with your attitude? That's awesome. Paint in the Glass match, which I think is one of the stupidest fucking names for a match ever. Like, you're trying to be hardcore. Don't come up with a name like Pains in the Glass. Like, Jesus Christ. Masada versus Scott Summers. Who the fuck is that? He's like, he's a guy I like from Texas. I like him a whole lot. And this, I mean, the guy might be great. I don't fucking know. But you're a guy who fucking 30 seconds ago told me Nick Gage can't carry your bags, and now you're like, fucking Scott Summers, some fucking guy. He's from Texas. I like him a lot. go fuck yourself, dude. I can't wait to hate this guy. Like, fuck you. And then, a light two bundles and bats match. Abdullah Kobayashi versus Matt Tremont. In my opinion, and I said this shit straight up the other night. Let me see if I could actually pull up the exact thing I said, because I think I worded it pretty well the other night. That it was just, it's just my opinion on the whole thing as far as this match goes, and as far as like the booking of this goes, it doesn't make any goddamn sense. And for people to think that, okay, here's what I put. Because they decided to also play a BJW like match, like a big six-man ill BJW match, like in between that match and the next match. And I said BJW is the shit. But this is why putting Kobayashi in the first round with Tremont is fucking dumb. Tremont is the best young deathmatch talent out there right now. The hungriest deathmatch guy in CZW, hands down. Kobayashi is an animal. Fantasy booking against whoever. A guy we don't get to see too often. So whichever one of these guys loses makes the tournament immediately less appealing. I'd rather see that in the semis or even the finals. That would sell DVDs. But never mind me. I'm just a dumb mark. That's what I posted during the shit while I'm watching that shit. Because these motherfuckers don't get it. Those two guys are the most appealing guys in the entire tournament. You look at this fucking tournament, okay? Danny's won a tournament. Drake has won a tournament. Masada's won a tournament. Okay, I mean, are we putting Rory Mondo over? What are we doing? Are we putting Lucky 13 over? I mean, what are we doing? Scott Summers, well, DJ likes him a lot, so maybe he'll go over. I mean, what are we fucking doing? So one of those two guys, I would say, has to go over. Fucking either Abdullah Kobayashi, which is my fucking favorite, or Matt Tremont, who, if he wasn't in the first round with Abdullah Kobayashi, would be my favorite to win the fucking match. I thought they would have been smarter to put him over last year, because that would have been balls putting the future over instead of just, oh, obvious choice. Okay, yeah, Masada, great. But I don't know. It's just me. So then I realized the music is way too hot for the iPay-per-view shit. Like, it's fucking almost blowing the speakers of my goddamn computer. I'm just like, holy shit, this is fucking crazy. Like, I just hear, like, shit, stop. And then, DJ comes out, and it's Greg Excellent versus Matt Tremont. I love when fat people call fat people fat. I think that shit is funny as hell. DJ stands there and he's like, Greg, you're fucking fat, and that's something I don't like. And just like, come on. You gotta be fucking with me. So, I mean, Greg goes in there against Matt Tremont, and it was supposed to originally be Matt Tremont versus Joker, and this was like the substitute match. Greg Excellent is fucking a great talent. I mean, the dude, he goes out there and he puts his ass out. I mean, he puts on a great match. He's a comedy wrestler for the most part, but, I mean, the dude can go, too. So he's in there against Matt Tremont. He does, like, Matt Tremont's been pulling out, like, the grill fork. The shit, you know, the big-ass fork you pull a chicken off the grill with. And fucking Greg Excellent pulls out a plastic fork and shit, some old lunchroom shit. And they're, like, doing the standoff and shit, and then Tremont breaks the fucking head off the fork, and he's standing there, and he's looking at it like, what the fuck am I doing now? And, like, looks all sorts of upset, man. And then honestly, like, it wasn't worked bad for what it was. But the booking sucks. You don't put two fucking faces in with no heat against each other, and then DJ's standing ringside trying to make them kill each other to no payoff, to nothing, other than both these guys don't like the fucking guy, and then he's just standing outside like, yeah, fucking go at it. So eventually, DJ attacks both guys with a chair. He hits Tremont in the head, Greg in the back. Greg falls on top of Tremont from the chair shot, and he gets the pin. Oh, wow, that's fucking great. And then on top of that, Tremont has this gimmick going with DJ. The only way he gets to fight DJ is if he wins Tournament of Death. So that's an awesome fucking spoiler. So if Tremont wins Tournament of Death, and that's the only reason I don't want him to win, is because, like, 2 months before, you're like, I'll fight you if you win a tournament. Like, dude, that fucking sucks. Not like, hey, if you win on this fucking off show against that guy, then I'll fight you. Well, that makes sense. That's happened a million times, and it does make sense within wrestling. But it's like, if you go through a whole really important tournament worth of people, then I'll fight you and no one will care. Like, wow. So I guess that's what's happening. Like, fuck, man. Who asked for that shit? I didn't. What the fuck? That's a retarded stipulation. So then Jake versus Dave Chris happens. These are fucking two tremendously talented dudes. These guys need to be showcased fucking heavily within CZW and anywhere they go, because the Chris are fucking awesome. Irish Airborne, or separately as Dave and Jake Chris, these guys are tremendously fucking talented. I mean, I can't say enough about these guys. It ended up ending in a DQ because Dave used the ladder, and which is great because this only can set up a ladder match between the two, which I've been really hoping for, like a TLC match between the two of them. Because they tear it the fuck up. It's just plain awesome what they do out there. So, I mean, that's my first go on that. Next up, we have Azrael and Bandido versus the Runaways with no Kimberly, because Kimberly was in Japan that night, and fucking big shout out to her, man. She's tearing it up. Went over there, fucking Japan, doing the arena thing. Phenomenal. Well, okay. Jesus Christ. The Runaways have not been able to capture the belts. And, you know, without Kimberly, you go, well, shit. You know? That's easy enough, because even with, you know, their heel manager, they still weren't able to win that. So you would think Azrael and Bandido got this easy. But Azrael and Bandido have never had a gimmick or an angle or anything. They were given the titles fucking well over 6 months before they were given an angle or anything. So what do? Oh, Alex Colon interferes. Oh, isn't he in the stable? Never mind that, except for the announcers who are announcing it on high pay-per-view going, I guess they don't like the blackout anymore. What's going on with the blackout? And meanwhile, they're just doing their thing. Like, no one mentions the blackout. And so Azrael and Bandido win with interference, and then Colon gets on the mic and says, like, this whole Latin thing where, you know, you guys don't respect us, and, you know, people say that you guys are the most powerful people in America, but we're the guys who clean the house. We're the guys who are mowing your lawn. We're the guys who do the most work in America, and we're the most powerful people in America. So all of a sudden, like, Alex Colon turns, like, immediate heel and goes, like, nah, the Latin people are doing all the work. We're the most powerful people ever. And you're just like, where the fuck is it? Isn't he with blackout? And then it's like, oh, we're Four Loko. I'm like, I mean, your shit's got a lot of alcohol and caffeine and shit. You know, get you all fucking fired up and fighting people at a bar. But, I mean, what the fuck are y'all talking about? And it's like, me, Chrissy Rivera, both in blackout. I'm like, oh, okay. And then Azrael and Bandido, we're Four Loko, and we're taking shit over. And it's like, okay, still no mention of blackout. So my thought immediately is like, so are they burying fucking Ruckus and Robbie? But what's going on now? I mean, Ruckus just had a match earlier tonight. He lost the match, and fuck, I mean, they really haven't put out the effort to blackout whatsoever. With this new blackout, they gave blackout Rich Swann, which is a fucking phenomenal phenomenal addition to the blackout. If he wasn't scheduled in Japan for, I don't know, fucking 8 of the next 12 months. So, wow, what a great idea that was. And then it was just Ruckus, Alex Colon, Chrissy Rivera, and Robbie Marino. Okay, great. But even in fucking the best of the best, it was only Chrissy by the side of the ring when Alex was in the ring. It wasn't like Ruckus was out there, Robbie was out there. It wasn't like a whole lot of support. They really weren't trying to push the blackout.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm back, man. My fucking phone went dead. This is the first time that shit ever happened. That's just some bullshit.
It's all good, man. Oh. Why Pencil's got erasers. It's all good.
Yeah, so now I'm on the girl's phone. Jesus Christ. Where the fuck was I? Yeah, so is Ruckus and Robbie fucked, or what's going on? I don't know. I'm not good with that. I hope they reform the Blackout, Ruckus, Robbie, G's, and Joker. That's just my own fantasy book, and who knows, though. There's a lot to do there. But, yeah, and then the Runaways split up. So they start fighting each other. So Joe Gacy getting a singles push. Oh, that's something else right there. Okay. All right. And Joe Gacy gets a singles push. All right. That's something I never. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what to say. But
I like Gacy's work, especially like I've seen you seen his Force One stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him. I like his work.
But good. I mean, shit. Somebody needs to. I don't know, man. I don't know. I haven't seen that much. He's been really, really off for a lot of time in CZW. Like, people chanted Sloppy Joe, and, like, within, like, two moves, he proves them right. Like, he fucks a move up, but then, like, 35 seconds of them calling him Sloppy Joe. Not, like, pull off, like, four crisp moves, fucking tag out, and be like, see what I'm saying? Like, he fucks some shit up, and then it's like, all right, well, there you go. And then it's like, well, we'll remember that next match, and it kind of continues. But I don't know. That's just me. Hopefully it all works out. I don't know. But Gacy's going to be a heel. Ryan Slater's going to be a face. Well, good luck with that shit, because Ryan Slater, I don't know, how are you going to get that over? So, Masada versus question marks. He has an open challenge. I mean, he gets on the mic. You don't know who's going to come out. You're hoping for the best and everything. You know, he calls out. He gets on the mic and he calls out Low-Key. He calls out Davey Richards. Who answers the challenge? What condition? My condition is in. Fucking Devin Moore comes walking out. Isn't that fucking awesome? Why the fuck would you offer a fucking open challenge only to have Devin Moore, a guy who you worked 4 to 5 times in the fucking company, walk out?
That's a good point.
Who the fuck gives a just announce Devin Moore for fucking Masada and make it what it can be. Like, do everything you can, make that shit what it can be, but don't open challenge my ass to go, oh yeah, remember that guy four times? Here goes five. All right, and then Devin Moore works the leg and slows it down for a long time. And then my head bobs, like, and then I pick back up because I almost fell asleep. Like, it goes, yeah, like you almost headbutt yourself in the knee and shit, and then you pick up, oh, okay, I'm back. And then, you know, okay. And then I realized, because I start focusing on other things, I'm just like, all right, look, this is it. Masada wins. So then we go to the main event. Oh, man. This is supposed to be monumental. No rope barbed wire. Danny Havoc versus Drew Gulak. This is such a cap to the feud. This is such a main fucking... Honestly, I'll sum it up like this. Like, this main event, this No Rope Barbed Wire was a Ring of Honor No Rope Barbed Wire. This was BJ Whitmer versus Necro. This was Steve Corino versus Homicide. That's the No Rope Barbed Wire we got. Not Lobo versus Zandig at a Deja Vu.
this was not Wifebeater versus Zandig at Night of Infamy. This was not the Nick Gage, Nick Mondo classic joint in Delaware back then. This wasn't Zandig versus Necro, a Tournament of Death. This was not, I mean, you can go on and on and on. Eddie Kingston versus Drake Younger. I mean, this is not the CZW no rope barbed wire that motherfuckers got used to. And we're, you know, CZW set the bar for deathmatch wrestling. That's the problem I have. And it's not the shit on anybody who's trying to do something at a lower pace or a lower level. It's just saying that when you set the bar at such a high level, you can't come short of that. That's your fault, not mine. I didn't fucking do a goddamn, I didn't take a single Irish whip into a fucking rope. But when you set the fucking bar and you've got Lobo in fucking 2002 taking Irish whips through two sets of fucking barbed wire ropes and hanging by his fucking ankles off of the bottom fucking barbed wire ropes, and Nick Mondo getting fucking, you know, lifted up by Gage and dropped on his stomach and hanging off his stomach off the barbed wire rope, that type of shit, and it was raining. You know, this type of stuff goes on. You know, and let me also add that I'm not the biggest Nick Mondo fan. He was a 3-year flash in the pan. Those 3 years were fucking brutal, unbelievable things that he did in that ring. But in the same token, he can't hold a candle to the Drake Youngers, to the Danny Havocs, to the Necro Butchers, the people who have come after him and done so many more years and so many more brutal things than he's ever done. So it's not to take anything away from him, but it's also to take away that, oh, well, nothing will be Nick Mondo, because that's just clearly not a fact.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the problem, though, with death matches, you know what I mean? It's like when you set that bar, like you said, you know what I mean, you pop your load too fast, you know what I mean? So you just got to be more innovative. But I hear what you're saying, though, Jack.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get you. You know, I definitely get it. But, I mean, they set the stage for what it is. So, I just, this was not a CZW no rope barbed wire match. This was what it ended up being, and that's fine. But, okay, here's the problem I have with it, too. Hold on 1 second. Dude, I hate this phone. So, here's the thing. Like, these announcers should be killed. I don't know who they are. I don't know who they are. I really hope to know who they are eventually, but I'm not going to be the one to commit the assassination. But they should be killed. There were definitely a point where the one announcer said, yes, yes, yes. So we're now trying to piggyback on the WWE, and that's really cute, but, like, you should really jump off the Walt Whitman or, I mean, whatever's closest. I'm not trying to inconvenience you. Just jump off the highest thing closest to you. That's fine. I just feel like these people are assholes. So when Drew Gulak was whipping fucking Danny Havoc with the barbed wire.
Yes.
They quoted him as saying, they said, he's whipping him like a slave.
Oh, cool.
And I went, wow, that's a little much. And then only a couple minutes later, and I wrote in, like, enormous cap letters when I took notes on this, need new commentators. And then a minute or two later, Danny's doing the same spot, and they're going, Danny Havoc's like Indiana Jones whipping him with that barbed wire. And I'm like, wait a minute. A minute ago we were going slavery and now he's Indiana Jones. Like, depending on the dude, he's either a slave owner or he's fucking Harrison Ford in his biggest role. What the fuck, man? fuck all of this.
Wait a minute,
wasn't
him like a slave though? Like, that's still stuck in my head right there, but
Yeah, no. When Drew whips somebody with barbed wire, He's beating, he's whipping him like a slave. That's what they said on iPay-Per-View.
So are you trying to tell me that Drew Gulak owns slaves? Is that what I'm supposed to take from that?
And his name is Danny Havoc.
Oh, Toby.
Maybe Toby Havoc.
Toby.
I don't know. Toby Havoc. Got a, you know, I mean, I ain't the one to mix this shit up. But then a minute later, fucking Toby strikes back, and he's fucking Indiana Havoc. I'm just like, I don't get it. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what the fucking reason is. But this is what it is. And like I said, this was not a fucking CZW no rope barbed wire match. Not that I need to take away anything from either one of these guys, because they're both talented wrestlers. But when it comes down to it, put it on paper, put it on people's eyes, and put it up to the bar that you set. I'm not impressed. I'm not impressed, man. And that was the CZW event for me. That was it. It was worth the $5 I spent while sitting home. But if I had a babysitter, I would have spent a lot more, and I would have been a lot more angry tonight. That's all I can say.
Well, lucky for them, you're not more angrier.
Huh?
I said, lucky for them, you're not more angrier. You didn't go.
Oh, man. It would have been such a better show if I got angry. But what can you do? You know. And that's more or less what I got on all of it. I don't know. That's the sum of it. Like I said, I got Nick Burke next week. Is there any opinions or anything else you want to get out there over what we've gone through tonight?
Just that let's see. Rolls the shits. no one watches TNA. And Miami lost. Watch KFAP TV on YouTube.
Are you putting out new episodes? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, you know what, man? YouTube's a bitch. Like with that WMG copyright
now it's their
thing
fault.
That they be,
okay.
Yeah, they're assholes. But up to episode 20, and I got the key.
I blame Blog Talk for my fault, so, you know.
Yeah, yeah, man, they're all against us, Jay. They're all against the man.
So, man. Where can they find you on there?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook at Facebook.com/ Eric King Blackie the Shields. Got my fan page and my hate page on YouTube at The Empire 215. Be at Vala Pro Wrestling this weekend at Red Lion PA and next weekend at CWF. And anywhere a ring or a promoter sells wrestling, I could be found at.
There you go. And for those who don't know, he won that King label from beating King Mabel, Jerry Lawler, and King Buka in a four-way in the King of the Death match final. If you didn't see it, I mean, that's your loss. It's actually lost footage. So, you know, that guy's the truth.
And I beat King Sheamus for that dumbass crown he had on last year, you know.
See, and that was another one. That's another lost footage. I mean, you don't know, man. You better ask somebody.
Swimming around somewhere on Dreamcast. Yeah, it's out there.
Absolutely. So, hey, man. Yeah, I think I'm about to wrap this up. So, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. I had a great time with you. I'd love to have you back on in the future, sure. And, you know, if you could tolerate my shit on another night, you're definitely welcome back. So,
most definitely, man. This was fun. I wasn't going to do anything but some crimes anyway. So, thank you, Jay.
Awesome. No problem, bro. Holla at me, man, and good night.
All right, man. Good night, man. Thanks for having me again.
No problem. And so I'm going to take this show out, play this track, and I'm going to call it a night. Check me out.
I be chillin' though, still spillin' dough. Damn a Kardashian, fuck about a Hilton hoe. Still go to Paris, end up in the Hilton though. Drunk as fuck, with a duck, in the lobby spillin' mo. But my shorty with the chocolate tear spotted cam. Tried to make a scene, yo, don't you got a man? So what, you fuck me raw? Nah, the condom pop. Said so what, Cam, your nasty ass didn't stop.
So, you're nasty ass sitting evil. Then ask, who's your little friend? I like to meet her. Hey girl, I'm Kim. Pardon, can I get a sec? Can't ain't it all correct. Yo, get her on my side. No, you ain't follow me. We'll ring around the collar beat. That's where they get. I should've let her ass swallow me. Curved her, the other bitch, put one in her ribs. Got home, goddamn, who's in front of the crib? Shit.
Crashed the M, came back and found me out, something else. Told her bring a friend, she gon' need the help. Needed too much for these hoes, like ooh, baby. Bounds and reminisce, Mary moves, baby. But you said I got what you need. You know, by the club, you gave me top in the beat. Like when pop, when play, don't let you pop. Money over here, bitch, your face is on TikTok. Laughing at these niggas from the drop, like. Spend a week down in Miami Beach with a hella freak, getting hella cheap. You can tell it's me, Ben C, LB, airs on, socks off, large, wet, woolly teeth with a snapback. Mommy got a backpack, ass so fat, ass can, did he tap that? Waiting on the waiter, man, where them racks at? Never been a hater, come stand where the cash at.
Crashed to him, came back and found out something else. Told her bring a friend, she gon' need the help. Needed too much for these hoes, like ooh, baby. Bounds and reminisce, Mary moves, baby. But you said I got what you need. But you know, by the club, you gave me top in the beat. Like when pop, when play, don't let you pop. Money over here, bitch, your face is on TikTok. Laughing at these niggas from the drop, like.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.